Talk Live. Welcome to the program here. As always, you're invited to join us. The number, if you want to do that, is 603-283-6160. That's 603-283-6160. You can join us online anytime you want. Head over to freetalklive.com and enjoy the various features that we have waiting for you there. Once again, that is freetalklive.com. Other talk show hosts want to charge you for access to their website. Ours is free. You know, something else that has been free for a very long time here at Free Talk Live has been our free-to-air satellite channel over North America, and we also have another one over Africa, sub-Saharan Africa, so the majority of the continent. And it has been broadcasting the Liberty Radio Network for more than 10 years. It was actually 2010 when the channel over North America got its start. And then it was 2012 when the Sub-Saharan African channel got its start. And it was 2015 when we started doing fundraising to support those channels. And I'm certainly grateful to everybody that has donated to that fundraiser over the years. I think we started doing a Patreon in 2017, and it didn't work out, you know? Not everything works out that you try to do in life, and this one didn't have the level of support that was necessary to see it through. We didn't have a lot to raise. We could have, you know, if we'd raised $1,000, that would have covered both channels. $1,000 a year, or sorry, $1,000 a month, that would have covered both channels, but wasn't to be seen. We've got just over $200 per month right now, which isn't enough to cover one of the channels, so I had to make the tough decision to go ahead and terminate one of those two channels, and I decided that I was going to terminate the North American channel because a couple different reasons. One, the fact is, well, we can't afford it. But number two, in addition to that, North America's got plenty of internet access. Like, if you look at the World Fact Sheet or whatever, there's a website that actually does a really good job at covering what areas of the world have internet access and to what extent. You know, North America is very well interneted. And so, considering that now you've got Starlink technology that's available, this low Earth orbit satellite technology that has made rural internet access incredibly accessible. I mean, it used to be you could get satellite internet if you were out in the woods or, you know, way out from a city, but it was terrible. And now it's pretty awesome. And I can speak from experience. We actually have Starlink at this location. It's used as a backup. It's not our primary internet connection because we aren't out, you know, in the woods. We are in a city here, but I just wanted to try it out and, you know, see how it was. And it's actually pretty fast, and it's not particularly expensive considering what it can do. So for somebody that lives out in the middle of nowhere, as long as there's a view of the sky, you can pretty much get very high speed internet access. By the way, here in the studio tonight, it's Ian,
Jay,
and Joa.
Welcome, gentlemen. I know the roads are a little crazy right now. They're shutting down things out there and repairing power. I think there was like 50,000 people in New Hampshire that had no power this week due to the storm.
80,000 at one point.
Yeah, wow. We got where I live. Basically, the four-wheeler wouldn't make it to the cows. The other day, I had to walk the bales of hay and the grain through like 200, 300 foot worth of, 3 foot deep snow, basically. Patch Peak reported 30 inches of accumulation.
I don't think we got that here in Keene, but we're kind of close to sea level here by comparison to the surrounding area. So I don't know. Maybe we got like a foot or
Keene's
foot and a half.
Like 400 foot, I believe.
Yeah. And but we're in a valley. So
I'm at 775 foot, but we're also closer to the ocean, so we got a lot more moisture.
Gotcha. So anyway, we're talking about the satellite channel. It's going to end at the end of June at this point, the one over North America. And yeah, I figure if you really want to get Free Talk Live, you really want to listen to LRN.FM, almost everyone in North America has internet access at this point, so it's kind of extraneous, kind of unnecessary to have that satellite channel.
Is there any idea how many people listen to us on satellite?
It's impossible to know. I mean, Every now and then we'll get a caller who says they're listening on that channel. So I'm sure there's going to be a handful of people that are upset about it, but I'd be shocked if those people don't have an internet subscription at this point. So to them, I'm sorry. Look, we just, you know, not enough people backed it. You know, if people don't back a thing, why should we do it?
Yep.
That's kind of how I see it. But people, you know, some people did back it. I mean, we do have about 20 people who support the satellite Patreon, which is you can find over, there's a link to it over at sat.lrn.fm, where you can just go straight to fund, fund.lrn.fm, and it'll take you right there. And, you know, we ask $2 a month. There are 20 people that are associated with that. I don't know how many of them are going to stay or go based on this particular news, but presuming they all stay, then we're half the way there to covering the African channel, which I'm going to continue.
Nice.
Because Africa is still not very connected. You just looked up the recent numbers. They're definitely more connected now than they've ever been. But still, Africa is at just under 50%. So in some countries in Africa, it's like 12% or 15%. So on average, though, it's like 46% of the African population, some 600 million people have no access to the internet.
My favorite place to watch or listen is on the Odyssey channel. That's where I like it.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you're definitely going to need a good internet connection for that because it's a video stream. So I suspect, you know, people in poorer areas of the world probably are going to listen to the show more than watch it. Like in some areas of Africa, I know they actually pay by the gigabyte. So you have to actually go and buy internet access in advance. You don't get to pay later.
Right,
it's like you got to pay for what you want to use in advance of doing it. We used to have a guy call the show. He said he would travel 45 minutes from his town to the capital city of Cameroon, Africa, where he would then borrow a friend's laptop, pay for a prepaid internet card just so he could listen to Free Talk Live and call into the show. So, that's the level of dedication some of those guys have out there. And they're more likely to have these free-to-air satellite systems because they don't have cable, right? So they don't have the traditional kind. They can't afford to pay for a satellite service per month, so they use the free-to-air system. And that's how they listen to this show. So that one's going to keep going. And like I said, we're over $200 a month right now, and that could be paid for with $400 a month. So we're half the way there, and hopefully that one's going to stay on for the foreseeable future, at least until Africa becomes as well connected as most of the rest of the world. So that's the current status of the Free Talk Live satellite channels. I wanted to, you know, put it out there as quickly as possible. Of course, we also have other things to talk about here tonight. If you want to join the show, the number is 603-283-6160. That's 603-283-6160. Have you guys been following this banking crisis?
Yes. Yep, we have.
Okay. I don't think we didn't get to talk about it last week, I don't think, because it like barely just started on Friday. So I think you would have missed it. We would have missed it on last Thursday night's show. You know, you guys haven't been here for a week, Jay, and 2 weeks for you, Joa. So do you want to weigh in or should I give you the latest news?
Well, let me bring one thing up real quick about, you were talking about satellite. So the way I have literally consumed most of my Free Talk Live is listener call-in line.
Yeah.
So I abstained from having a smartphone for a very long time.
Right.
And so I, when I was in Colorado, I used to plug in call the number, and in fact my business card has Free Talk Live listener call in line number on it, because
a lot still of works. They've changed a lot over the years.
It actually, when you call it, it says this channel is not functioning or something. But you just wait like 30 seconds and it starts playing Free Talk Live.
Okay, great.
Well, real quick,
they're kind of janky. Sometimes they work, sometimes they
don't. So I'd plug in my radio, my flip phone through the 3.5 millimeter jack to the input on like the tractor radio. I was, you know, did a lot of tractor work in Colorado, and the internet was very poor, but the cell phone reception was good. And, you know, you got unlimited minutes. So I have, you know, thousands of minutes listening to LRN.FM on my phone, essentially.
Yeah.
And so this old timer, my stepfather's father, he's like 72 years old. And he comes running up to me. He's like, "You need to get in my pickup and go fix this machine," because I was their mechanic. So he gets in the tractor that has like a dark display on the, it's got a touchscreen for the radio. It was like a brand new tractor back in like 2017. And it's also the GPS. Well, he didn't know how to shut off the radio. So we're listening. I got LRN.FM coming on. And what show comes on is, what was that show Derek J did called Flaming Freedom?
Flaming Freedom, yeah.
So Derek J did a Flaming Freedom show that was very graphic about pegging. And this 72-year-old, you know, farmer.
Oh, boy.
Hardcore conservative, you know, he's like, ew, queer people, you know. He
oh
just
boy.
Like, you know. He was so mad at me.
Oh, wow.
And he's like, what kind
what are you listening to?
Oh, yeah. He was like, there's something wrong with him. We got to fire him.
Oh, man.
You know, but it was hilarious because he had to drive his tractor for like listening through a whole show because he didn't know how to shut the radio off. And my phone was like hooked up to it. And then he's trying to call my phone and it's doing a call waiting thing mm-hmm. through the radio. Yeah, it was pretty
wow.
funny.
Wow. But you didn't get fired?
No. Gotcha. Oh, they couldn't afford to fire me. It would have been in big trouble, but he was very offended.
Wow. Yeah, it was an offensive show. Also a really good show.
Yep,
a lot
yep.
of fun. That was a really great one. And you know, that's another thing with LRN is over the years it has changed, right? Like in the beginning we used to have live shows like all day. We had
starting with Ernie Herring Hancock first
Ernie
thing in the
Hancock,
morning.
We had Scott Horton, we had Angel Clark, we had nighttime shows that were all different after Free Talk Live. I think at one point all 7 nights a week we had live nighttime shows. And no one wants to do live shows anymore, and I don't blame them.
It's hard to monetize. It's hard to make a living.
You can't make money off of it. You certainly can't make money off of generally doing activism, and this is activism. But also, it's just more convenient to do podcasts. I mean, there's still dozens of libertarian podcasts out there, and that's what we feature mostly on LRN.FM, which is the Liberty Radio Network, for those that aren't familiar with it. We feature those podcasts. And the nice thing about doing a podcast is you can record it anytime you want. So, like, for instance, Reed Coverdale, who sometimes was in here on Thursday nights,
yes.
he ended up moving out of the area, and he's got this job where he's always working whenever there's a storm. He's recovering power for people, moving trees and fixing power lines and things like that. And, you know, he's always on the job, on call. He can't just schedule a time
right.
every single week where he can be on the radio for 3 hours. So for somebody like him, it's a lot easier to just, I've got 10 minutes or I've got, 20 minutes. I can just bang out a podcast and send that out. So I think most people have kind of come to that realization. Even Ernie Hancock started going pre-recorded last year, no, 2 years, I think, almost ago at this point. And so it just gives those hosts more flexibility. So is it even necessary to have a live streaming audio channel? I think it still is. I think some people still like it.
It's convenient.
Yeah.
And I really like it because... if you stream like YouTube, for example, you know, you get commercials, it shuts off, and like, you know, LBRY, you got to go to the next thing. And it's basically like just a radio on in the background for me. And it's not a distraction because it just keeps on rolling through.
Right. And so I intend to continue it.
Well, thank
but
you.
But it just doesn't make sense to keep it on satellite if it's not something that people value. So that's where I'm at with that. If you want to weigh in here, the number is 603-283-6160. Let's talk to Ricky in Pennsylvania. You're on Free Talk Live. Then we'll get into this banking situation that continues to fester and get worse. But Ricky, go ahead.
Thank you there, Brother Ian.
Yes.
Your name there, gentlemen?
Jay.
And Joa.
Oh, it's you, Jay. You sound different tonight.
Oh, sorry.
That's all right, brother. Well, because of the unpleasantries, and I didn't even know it because I listened to the listen line, so I listened to the whole show over again the next day. So we're going to try to redo Tuesday night, Brother Ian.
I don't even know what you're referring to, but go ahead.
Well, just follow me. All right. I had my Colt 45 revolver. And, you know, I looked at this, you know, you got the ATF form, you got the FFL has the information, a computer copy and a book copy. So I fixed that. Now I got a ways to go after this. So what happened is I had my serial number removed from my revolver and the barrel re-blued. So here's, if I ever ended up using it, here's what I would do, because I do have something Martin Luther King said about it.
Because that is like a crime, right? I'm no expert.
Oh, it is. Yeah, but I have an answer to that.
Okay.
I have an answer to that, and so did he.
Interesting.
So here would be my answer if I had to use it and I was confronted.
I don't think it should be a crime. I mean, if you want to have a completely anonymous gun,
it's extreme victimless crime. That's the
you
whole
be able
point
to do
of
that.
My fault.
I mean, for instance, when you print a gun, it doesn't have a serial number on it.
Or you get an 80% lower.
Yeah, right. You can make your own kind of at home in that way.
And the thing is anybody who has...
Yeah, but they're banning those now. You can't even do that anymore. They banned all that.
No, they haven't.
You can't ban people making their own guns. It's impossible.
Yeah, but you can't get
maybe New York City or Chicago or something.
Well, he's saying
it can still happen.
Yeah.
Well, the federal government did put a cease and desist on all these companies across the country a while
back. Is that recent?
Maybe a year ago.
When you say these companies, you mean like Defense Distributed or who?
company, like the Poly 80, for example.
Yeah, the Poly 80.
You're talking about the lowers, the 80% lowers.
That's right.
Well, so the Poly 80 kit was like a Poly 80 9mm was a kit you could buy like 2 years ago. And, you know, a lot of people bought them. They were like, I don't know, they were very inexpensive. They were like a $399 thing, and you got everything you needed to basically assemble the gun. All you had to do was literally drill a few holes. They gave you the drill bits. They gave you, it was like getting a model car kit.
Yeah.
And you put it all together. And then, so that's a lot different than just buying an 80% lower, because these guys were like, I think what you're talking about,
well,
the cease and desist.
That's what I had. I had an 80, I have a Glock, and it was 80% lower. And you just basically, you drill out, they give you the bits, you drill out a couple holes, and then you just got to get a Dremel. That's the only other tool they don't give you. And you just drill out where the barrel goes. There's like a little dam right where the barrel sits. So they just plastic. You just got to work itself out. And then everything fits together perfectly.
Okay, but what did they ban, though?
Those kits.
The kits. Yeah,
you can't get the parts anymore. That's
well, they did a cease and desist on the kits, I believe.
Yeah, for 60 days, and they had to stop production in 60 days. And
But
I'm sure there is companies out there in certain states and that sort of thing, but I don't think you can get them through the mail anymore or anything like
but
that.
But you could still get the 80% lower, just not the kits, right?
No, I think it's everything.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, they said they're banning the damn parts. That's how they do that
stuff.
That's
crazy.
Well,
but anyways,
you just have to 3D print it all then.
I guess so.
Well, anyways, it's really junky. Like I said, Martin Luther King had an answer to all this. But see, if I actually had to use it, here's what I would do. I would use three sections of our Constitution. This is where I got accidentally dropped. But by the way, I heard what happened. I was still there. That was a glitch. But anyways, if that happened, I'd use three sections of Article 1 of our Constitution. So first section would be Section 8. The people shall be secure in their papers and things. That takes care of that. Then the other two sections, I believe, is Section 20. The people have a right to protect themselves and their property.
Is this
and
the Pennsylvania Constitution you're citing?
Our Constitution, yes.
Okay.
And then the third section would be the people have a right to bear arms.
You're saying this is what you would use if you were arrested and prosecuted for having a gun.
In the form of using it, if I had to use it in self-defense, say.
Okay.
And then they look at it and they see the serial numbers removed.
Yeah. But here's my answer to all this. Now, here's what Martin Luther King said, and I'll quote this as best as possible. A man that commits a crime because of an unjust law is not a criminal.
Correct.
Yeah, no doubt. The tricky part, though, is getting a jury to agree with you.
I know, but Ian, let me start over. This is important. All right. A man that commits a crime because of an unjust law to protect himself or someone else is not a criminal. He's a hero. And I take my hat off to that man.
Thank you, Ricky, for the call tonight. I appreciate it. According to Meatball DeSantis Bootlicker in our chat room over at the Matrix chat server at chat.freetalklive.com, that's how you can learn how to join that. He says you can still buy the lowers. He said the feds just hated that you could buy 80% kits with the slide, barrel, and other parts. He says, I think they went so far to say you could buy parts to assemble the 80% lower at the same place that was even illegal. So I guess that's now a crime. Illegal to sell, but not to buy, or something like that.
So yeah. Basically, like a gun store can't, that sells like all the other accessories to build a gun, it sounds like.
Can't sell it all.
Can't sell
you.
The 80% lower. So, they would have just an online shell company or different name, whatever, that would just do it.
Or buy the pins for $500 and you get the kit for free.
I think they usually cover things like that, the way they write prohibitions. But anyway, if you want to weigh in on that, you're welcome to. The number 603-283-6160. You guys both said you've been following this bank situation pretty closely. We certainly have here on Free Talk Live. It started last week on Friday when Silicon Valley Bank went bust, and the federal government was called in by the California Department of Banking regulators.
Not just one bank.
Well, that was the first one to go.
Well, that is important because people are saying, oh, this wasn't the biggest banking collapse in history.
No, it's the second biggest.
No, wrong. It's the number one.
What do you mean?
Because if you count the other bank that failed and you put them two together.
You're talking about Signature Bank over the weekend?
Yeah, so there's two banks.
Yeah.
And if you combine them two, because they happen relatively at the same time, mm-hmm.
then it is
bigger. Surpasses yeah. the number one banking crisis.
Yeah. Also, the other thing with Silicon Valley Bank that surpassed, even without Signature Bank, the thing that surpassed the previous bank failure in 2008, that crisis at that time, was that the Silicon Valley Bank actually had a larger run in a shorter period of time. So there was more people trying to pull more money out of Silicon Valley Bank than there was, I think it was Washington Mutual, you know,
well, I think there's going to be another crisis in the markets of sorts, and that's the silver market.
What's the crisis?
Now, the crisis would be you don't have access. You're not going to be able to buy it.
Why?
Because it's going quick.
Oh, you're just saying they're going to sell out.
There's a run on silver. Everyone's buying their silver. Yeah.
See, I hadn't heard that. How did you?
And the price hasn't popped up much.
And that's what. So once the scarcity hits, mm-hmm. which is coming any day now, and then the silver certificate bonds and all that can't be fulfilled and all this stuff, you're going to see a huge spike in silver and gold.
Okay. All right.
I have a feeling for this
right
now.
How do you know that's what's happening?
Well, there's a lot of sales going on in silver right now. Mm-hmm. I see it blasting all over the, you know, just Facebook marketplaces and like, you know, I belong to a bunch of silver groups on Facebook.
Right.
And that's a lot of activity. And I see that there's a lot more going on. And the prices are going up on their level because they know what's going on, too. Like, everyone in these groups. But Silver Dave was just saying that he's made a lot, since this is happening.
Yeah, and I was wondering what how he was
doing. He's been moving a lot of silver. He's, you know, doing a real good job at it, manufacturing some really nice fractional silver and some 10-ounce bars and...
Yeah. So if you can, try to get your silver locally. I'm not just trying to, you know, advertise local silver mint.
And
where?
That's in New Hampshire.
And where, yeah. But like, no, that's, you want to get it. And he is the lowest prices.
Do they ship outside of New Hampshire or is it only local sales?
You would have to go online to like JD Bullion, Bullion and JM Bullion.
So it is exclusive to local. They will not ship is what you're saying.
Well, his products are sold like Heavy Metal Construction would be Silver Dave's basically new line of silver product, and he does a 92.51 and a 99.95.
But it will not ship. You're saying that it will.
You got to order a lot through him before you can get some shipping.
You
send him an email
at FD Bullion.
Yeah, I would go to those sites. That's where you're going to get the discount on, you know, smaller
purchases.
They
carry his stuff, don't they?
Right. Yes, that's what I'm saying. They carry Heavy Metal Construction, which is Silver Dave's new line.
All right, that's cool. SD Bullion.
Even those barbells. Did you see those barbells?
SD Bullion.
SD Bullion. All right, there's more coming up here. We'll get into the bank run, the crisis. We'll talk about that coming up. Free Talk Live. Some of you have wanted to support Free Talk Live's mission on a monthly basis, but don't want to support Patreon. Now we have an alternative that also helps our premier streaming platform, Odyssey. Visit video.freetalklive.com and click join at the top of the channel. You can subscribe for $5 per month, and unlike other subscription services, Odyssey adds their processing fee on top, so it'll cost a little over $5 per month, but Free Talk Live will receive the entire amount you pledged. Higher donation tiers are available if you're feeling so inspired. You'll get a special membership badge that's visible in the Odyssey chat room, and if we get enough supporters, we may enable members-only chat. This new subscription method is a great way to decentralize our direct listener support away from just Patreon and also support a libertarian-run business, Odyssey. Please visit video.freetalklive.com and click join to subscribe to our Odyssey channel and help support spreading our message around the planet. Visit video.freetalklive.com and click join today. It is Free Talk Live. You can join the show here, whatever you want. The number is 603-283-6160. That's 603-283-6160. Have you been taking steps over the last week to isolate yourself, to protect yourself from what could be continuing bank failures?
I've been doing it my whole life, actually.
Well, yeah, you've never even had a bank
That's
account,
right?
So you're pretty protected in that case. Some of us still are stuck in that system. I'm prohibited from using cryptocurrency by the bail conditions that I'm under. However, they did not prohibit me from using gold or silver. So I do have the ability to utilize gold backs or fractional silver or whatever other thing. And this is something that, you know, you guys out there might want to consider. I mean, there's no guarantee that tomorrow your bank's going to fail, but there's also no way to know what's going to happen. Well, and the more...
I pulled my money out.
You did? You pulled
well,
it all
most
out?
Of it, except for some recurring bills.
Yep.
That sort of thing. But yeah, and I've certainly been spending it through my card lately and not using my cash.
Which card?
My bank card.
Bank card. Okay, yeah. Gotcha.
Yeah. Because
I know some people have those crypto-backed debit cards, which are a convenient way. Because a lot of people say, oh, well, you know, you get into cryptocurrency, how do you get out of it? Well, the crypto-backed debit cards, while they are inherently tied into the banking system, they're offered by these what you might call financial technology companies who aren't per se banks. So like Crypto.com or Uphold is another one of them. I don't know if Coinbase is still doing theirs, but they had one at one time. These aren't
like
quote-unquote
banks. Bitrefill and that sort of thing.
Do they do them too? I didn't know
that.
Well,
here's the thing. Bitrefill shut down their auto pay.
What was that?
So you can have your bills paid.
Oh, see, I thought Bitrefill is just where you buy like gift cards.
No, you can do many other things with it.
Oh, that's cool.
But the thing is that the reason they shut it down is because I think of the SVB thing. And they're just trying to crack down on all these money transfer type scenarios.
Well, it's possible they had an account at Signature Bank. Signature Bank was one of the largest crypto-friendly banks in the United States. And in fact, that's kind of the news that I wanted to share, at least to start this discussion tonight, is according to an article over at CoinDesk, Signature Bank is now for sale. So the feds have seized Signature Bank, and they're trying to get some big bank to come in and swoop in and take over the accounts.
Yeah, right. The federal government loves consolidating industries because it's just way easier to control them.
Well, that's one of the things that Aaron Day pointed out this week. We had Aaron on the show. He's a Free Stater, early mover here for the Free State Project. He's running as a Republican candidate for president.
Okay.
So if you missed that interview, you can definitely go grab that. I think it was Tuesday night. Highly recommend that because he's like the only thing going for people that actually care about liberty. If you want, you know, if you actually want to back a candidate at the presidential level that is actually a principled libertarian, this guy's doing it. He's running as a Republican. But he pointed out that what's happening here is as these regional banks are being threatened, their stocks are falling. People are selling off the stocks. And people are, what they're doing is they're pulling money out of the regional banks. They're not doing what you guys were talking about, which is buying silver or gold or maybe getting cryptocurrency.
They're putting it all into like JP Morgan. Right. JP Morgan got the record amount of deposits. I forget the number, but I heard this morning on some podcast I was listening to, Valuetainment there. They were talking about, and this is from yesterday, but they were talking about how JP Morgan reported the record amount of hundreds of billions of dollars just getting deposited into JP Morgan out of regional banks. The thing is, the money in the bank does not belong to you. It's yours.
As soon as you gave it to them, it became theirs.
It is an asset, and you are a depositor in a bank is basically the first one to lose in the bank. You are an unsecured, it's like an unsecured loan to the bank, basically, and it is their money. In fact, the money doesn't belong. It belongs to the Federal Reserve. It has their name all over.
That's
true. This paper.
It's a debt note.
Yeah, they're debt notes. So it's not even real money. It's it's debt notes. And then second, they did away with the
evidence of the federal debt. That's exactly what that is. If the federal debt were paid off, that would mean all the money is gone
and
out of circulation.
All the fiat dollars are gone out of circulation.
Yes. Let's pay off the debt then.
And then
never gonna happen.
What is it? Well, we just got to stop having faith in this fiat system.
Indeed.
Which is, one big thing you've been pushing for basically as long as I've known you, Ian, is, the fiat system's corrupt. We need to get away from it. And this is why you became such a big fan of Bitcoin.
It's literally the most unholy thing in the world.
Well, right it is modern day.
So you want to talk about defense for your church, the fiat is the most unholy thing.
Absolutely.
There you go. Done. Feds, you hear that?
Yeah, it is a modern day slave
system. They
heard
it. That's why they raided this house 2 years ago, by the way. It's a 2 year anniversary of
the raid. Oh, it's against their God. Oh, I'm sorry. And their God is Satan, apparently.
Whatever it
is. Well, just think all the federal employees, all the state employees, all federal and state employees are members of what I call the parasite working class.
Mm-hmm.
They are a parasite sector. Anybody that's in these highly regulated government industries, whether it's medical, and don't be offended if you're a doctor and I refer to you as a parasite, but it is a parasite industry because the hospitals, for example, the reason they're so expensive is because they get all kinds of money from the state, and they give these sweetheart contracts to companies like Stryker Industries, which, you know, Barbara Stryker is a Massachusetts politician. You know, her father started, you know, this business, and they're the ones who are selling like the $8,000 power hospital beds to the hospital for like $80,000.
Wow.
And then you got like, you know, this is why you'll see like bills where you'll have aspirin for $96. Mm-hmm. And these are, you know, pharmaceutical companies are selling all this stuff at, you know, 1,000x what it costs in the real market to buy them, basically to the hospital. So, but getting back to this, all the banks are insolvent. They have no more reserve requirements. One guy that does a
that ended in I think it was 2020 during the COVID thing. They used that zero as the excuse to get rid of the reserves.
So what's basically happened a lot with the banks too, I haven't heard anyone really talk about, is the way money velocity really happens, the way money is created into the economy is because of loans. So previous
which
to
by the banks, they're making those loans out of thin air. Now.
Out of thin air. And but so 2 years ago or 3 years ago, it was required that the bank for every, you know, I forget the numbers, but basically for every dollar they have on deposit, they could lend out like
$9, $10.
Well, $30 it was.
Oh, was it?
It went up to $30 or $29. For every $1 they have, they can create 29 out of thin air. And then all that has been done away with. So there isn't even, they don't even have to have any money on their on their books to create this. Well, now mortgage rates have gone up. The housing market is still super tight. So a lot of these a lot of the way money's getting created is by the housing market and, you know, housing mortgages being issued. Mm-hmm. And then they literally spend the money up out of nothing, you know, 29/30 of it out of nothing. And now they spend 100% of it up out of nothing. Well, that's come to a serious stop too. So there's a whole bunch of money just stopped getting sort of injected that way into the economy. But another way of
that's because many people don't want to take the mortgage at the rates that they're at today.
Yeah, right. Well, the amount of mortgages that are being applied for are super low. I forget the numbers. Zero Hedge talks about this stuff all the time.
I saw something, I don't know, a few months ago saying that the amount of mortgages is down to where like the worst level during COVID. Because obviously when people were staying
home, they weren't
buying houses. Yep. And so it's like that level.
So now what we got going on, so there's that. And then the other thing that's happening is we have inflation. And then we also have the interest rates have been raised. So like the United States of America, for example, that has to pay that services debt, like their debt payments have like gone up in, you know, numbers that we can't understand. Let's just put it that way. Yeah. Trillions of dollars, hundreds of millions of dollars. So anyways, then you have all of this money basically going into the war over there. And, you know, the U.S. is just backing and funding this Ukrainian
$110
nonsense.
Billion and counting going to Ukraine.
And so all that money is actually money getting printed out of thin air, but without it being loaned into existence. It's just getting basically created it into existence through some other vehicle I don't understand.
Numbers on a computer,
some other magic
right which is, you know, further adding to inflation. So now they're bailing out these banks even more. What's all this money that's going to go into bailing out these banks? So now we're going to put all this money into the economy again, which is going to create more demand for supplies, but the money's going up so much more than the supplies. And the people that are getting bailed out are all the ones, basically, that are all buddies with Jeffrey Epstein's friends, best I can tell.
Oh, yeah. Actually, you know? No, absolutely that. Because you had sent me a link about this, Mike Gill, and the whole thing that's going on.
With the New Hampshire drug cartel.
Yes. So they're funneling pharmaceutical money through, what is it, the Bank of Boston or something like that? I forget exactly that one.
So by drug cartel, they mean the legal drug cartel.
Absolutely. But it's also it's very highly illegal because, but they have to do it in a certain way through a shell company called CT Corporation Systems. And it's literally in Concord, New Hampshire. Mm-hmm. It's this small little office with nothing in it. Mm. And it just has a placard on the door and then has a whiteboard for people who are stopping by, apparently.
Right. So the guy talks.
It's a nothing burger. And it's literally there to be a protectant to the Bank of Boston. I forget the name of that bank exactly.
I got a little quote here from it. Silicon Valley Bank bought Boston Private Banking and Trust. Let the drug money flow to CT Corporation Systems, the trusted registered agent. So what they're talking about is this guy on his YouTube channel here, what's his name? Brandon Lee O'Connell. He's basically studying a lot of Mike Gill's work. Mike Gill had this epic corruption case against the state of New Hampshire, essentially.
Didn't they go after him?
It went to court, but he rejected a $50 million settlement from these guys, and he's like, nope, everybody needs to know. I'm sick of you killing the kids with the heroin and the fentanyl. And he accuses Sununu very much of being all part of this, and the purpose that Sununu got elected
That's
was to make all this,
New Hampshire.
The current right. governor now, make all this stuff happen, which he's basically, you know, he was a hardcore Democrat when it came to all mandate stuff.
And he sat down with the governor and talked about these things to him directly.
Yep.
Like, he actually had a roundtable discussion with actually, like, executives and everything like that, and the governor.
Mike Gill did?
Yeah.
In his video that we talked about.
Before he was governor. Before mm-hmm. he was governor.
Yep. But anyways, so New Hampshire has, like, this trust thing that they talk about, where basically you can create a New Hampshire trust, and the registered agent can be, you know, sort of nobody. And
not our co-host, but someone
it could just be a fictional entity. So,
I see.
So what they're talking about in the Pandora Papers was
the Pandora Papers?
Do you know what that is, Joe, off the top of your head?
I don't know. He was describing it, but I didn't really get a gist of the detail of what he was saying.
They were basically leaked documents about a corrupt bunch of corrupt government stuff, and he gets into this Mike Gill how with the Pandora Papers, what the Pandora Papers say about New Hampshire and $932 billion in a trust economy. So it is what they're talking about, like this trusted agent for this company, you know, Boston Bank and Trust or whatever, is registered in New Hampshire as a New Hampshire company. And basically the office is just an empty building, like Joe has said.
Mm-hmm.
Well, in the Pandora Papers, they talk about all this drug cartel money being laundered to all of these businesses. And every single business was just an empty office building, kind of like... If you know, if you guys remember that movie, The Boiler Room, that came out years ago, where these guys were selling these penny stocks, and basically the only location they had was just an empty building. I mean, there was it was a pretty good movie. It came out in the 90s.
Let me just summarize it. What the Pandora Papers are: in October 2021, the International Consortium of Investigative Journalists released 11.9 million leaked documents, 2.9 terabytes of data that exposed the secret offshore accounts of 35 world leaders, as well as more than 100 billionaires, politicians, corporate executives, celebrities, and business leaders. These documents have led an immense global impact and are essential for uncovering unethical or corrupt dealings among the wealthy and elite.
It doesn't really sound too shocking to me. I mean, everybody knows that these people have secret bank accounts that they funnel money into, right? This is just the proof of that.
Right, basically. And some of the names involved in the SVB are listed
some
in
of
these.
Those guys?
Yes, especially the ones here in New Hampshire.
Okay.
The ones in New Hampshire have also hired the same lawyers as Epstein. Mm-hmm. I mean, there's no coincidence in that.
He gets into
these things.
And Ghislaine Maxwell was found, 25 miles from the New Hampshire State House in Bradford, New Hampshire, right up the road from where I live. And so, there's got to be a lot of local corruption for Ghislaine Maxwell to be hiding out there.
Yeah.
And
tucked away, that's pun intended, because that was the name of the place that Ghislaine Maxwell was hiding. It was called Tucked Away.
Oh, I've seen that sign before. I've driven by there.
Wow. Yeah.
All
it's
right.
A small state. All right, so what's the main takeaway here from this Mike Gill documentary?
Well, this guy does weekly
because it's an hour long.
Yeah, he does a weekly podcast about this. Is Brandon O'Connell? But the big takeaway is that there's a massive drug cartel, and they're pushing fentanyl like crazy. And of course, tons of state employees are on the take. Tons of federal employees are on the take. I mean, I find it absolutely disgusting and reprehensible that the Crypto 6 event happened. And the fentanyl overdose deaths are like pretty extreme, I guess, in New Hampshire.
Mm-hmm.
It's a very, very high state. You got all this
lots of heroin users.
Yeah, and you got all this crazy drug addiction going on, and the FBI is putting all kinds of money into investigating people who have never ever not a single affidavit was filed in that court that you or anybody else injured anybody or stole anything from anybody.
That's true.
And yet we have all kinds of record amounts of people overdosing in this country from the fentanyl, and the fentanyl is just being piped right in essentially by the state, the feds.
Well, fentanyl isn't a threat to the banking system,
right? No, it benefits the banking system because here's the thing: it benefits actually the whole political ruling class system. It's just the same way autism does, and all the other horrible things. So, for example, if you're a family member that has an autistic child, or an autistic brother, an autistic sister, or I'm probably going to get some backlash for looping these in the same group, or a brother or a wife or a friend or a daughter that's hooked on heroin or fentanyl or something. You're not going to pay attention to what the politicians are doing. You're not going and voting. You're not going and testifying at the state house.
You're
you don't
doped
even
up.
Care.
Yeah.
Well, no, let's say you're not doped up. You're straight, but someone you love and care about, one of your siblings, mm-hmm. for example, is just messed up from something. You know, they got autism because they were vaxxed so much, or they got, you know, and you got to constantly take care of them.
Them.
And it's the same thing if they're drug addicts. Like, I had a crackhead uncle. If he was anywhere mm-hmm. around, yeah, just make sure everything was locked up. And, like, and if he just showed up at your place, you had to be like, listen, dude, get out of here, because you couldn't go anywhere until he was gone.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, for example, and not only that, if, you know, your child is a drug addict, and all your energy goes into trying to save your child, which sure. usually the worst thing you could do is put energy into it. You just got to kind of let them, you know, either
well,
die
I mean,
or
that's
whatever.
That's true, but it's also true of anybody that's just busy trying to live their life.
Yep.
I mean, the more the system can place a burden on people through, say, taxation or regulation.
Addiction's
a whole other level of it, but just people who are just trying to raise a family in many mm-hmm. cases, they've made it so both parents have to work now because it's just too expensive to live life.
Yep.
Through all the raising costs, we're seeing inflation, of course, making that even more difficult on the average couple or whatever, the average family, and they're just barely getting the bills paid. You know, they feel like they barely have time to do anything at the end of the day, right? So they sit back, they throw the television on if they have any time whatsoever, and they veg out to go through it all over again the next day. These are also people that don't feel like they have the mental space to even pay attention to what's going on.
Oh, yeah,
in the world.
I've talked to them a lot of time, you know, about, like, things that's going on. They're like, I don't even know, dude.
Yeah.
Like, you know, if, you know, my kid was sick and, you know, my wife had to stay home from work because the kid couldn't go to school. And, you know, that's like, you know, $250 we're not going to have because she didn't go to work that day. You
right.
know, the wife's a nurse or whatever. And the other thing, too, is a lot of these guys, especially a lot of, we're getting a little off topic here, but a lot of, like, TJ to Spy.
It's okay, we do that.
Mentioned this several times. So, like, a lot of these, like, people in government who they really depend on their job. You got a lot of people my age that got government cushy government jobs, whether it's in the FBI, NSA, state, you know, working for the post office, working for the Department of Veteran Affairs in a hospital as a janitor. And because they got some college degrees, they're making, you know, pretty good money, like $100,000 a year. And like what TJ was saying, that, you know, some of these guys are making $250,000 a year in NSA, but every single one of them's like a drunken fisherman. They have, you know, brand new pickup trucks, mm-hmm. brand new snowmobiles,
sure.
four wheelers. They got these big mega houses.
They're living paycheck to paycheck.
And they're living paycheck to paycheck, making like, you know, $200,000 a year.
They're in debt.
To 300. And they can't afford to lose their job. So they're
right.
just a slave to the system. So, you know, they're like, you know, so all these guys, if the fiat collapses, these guys are all in trouble because they don't really have any real assets. They have
yeah.
a whole bunch of leveraged, you know, properties.
Right, that car's
going to
get
own.
Repoed. You're not going to sell it.
Yeah, and it's the same thing with all the teachers, pretty much everyone that works parasite class, because they're all going to be guaranteed a golden parachute retirement fund, because mm-hmm. when you pay your taxes in pretty much every jurisdiction, you pay your property taxes. A lot of people in New Hampshire pay $25,000 a year property taxes.
Wow.
A lot of $10,000 a year property taxes. The first thing that gets serviced is the pensions.
Mm-hmm.
And
yeah,
then what's left over goes to infrastructure. So this is why the schools really, really suck, because when it comes down to it, yeah, we're paying $20,000 a student, you know, in the district.
And how much of that's going to pensions?
And a huge amount. In fact, we got some people in Ware are actually drafting up some right-to-know requests. I've been, you know, really bugging on, you know, some of these guys are pretty smart. Hey, this is how we figure this out. And, yeah, so if 80% of your tax dollars are going towards the pension,
mm-hmm.
Then a right-to-know request is going to start going out from, you know, these landowners saying, what's the process and procedure to tax my property to pay your pension? Where's the evidence that I'm subject to do that? We need to make these guys prove that we're slaves and they have a right to, you know, support these pensions for these private unions that are not subject to public records requests when parents want to know what's in the curriculum that their kids are learning at school.
Well, when they're taking your money, you have a right to know where it's going.
The courts have ruled all over the place now, just like the cops. They take your money to pay for the cops. The cops have no obligation to protect you.
That's right.
And the teachers' unions are private unions that are contracted with cities, counties, and states, and
yep.
and they are private contractors, and they're not subject to right-to-know requests, according
and
to all the courts.
Teachers are incentivized to make your kids dumb because that's how they get more federal funding.
Yep. The worse the school does, it needs more money. You know, fix it till it's broke.
Well, and they're dug in like ticks, because if you make the suggestion that you want to change the pension system, those bureaucrats are going to come out with guns blazing. They're going to go to the state house. They're going to pile in there, and they're going to do everything they can.
Grease the wheels as much as they can.
To make sure that that system doesn't change. That is going to be one of the hardest things to go after, because they always position, oh, well, you want to take away the retirement from our public servants? These
people are
serving you.
No, they're not.
Yes, I do want to take away the pension fund of the guidance counselors who are like, oh, you need to go to college. Or the teachers pushing critical race theory, you know, making making the black kids feel like that they can never get better in life because the system's rigged against them, which is, I see, the biggest crime with the whole critical race theory nonsense. And then they make the white kids feel bad to where you got, like, you know, 7-year-old little white boys are crying because, you know, their black friend is being oppressed because they're white and they don't even know what's going on. Like, all this stuff is to disrupt them and to destroy, essentially, the culture. And
it's separating communities. I'll repeat that over and over again. You know, it's separating communities. It's about not, like, caring about your neighbor. And when you can divide you and your neighbor from each other, they're winning, because then we can't organize.
Yep. And getting and back to the kids in school, so then you got the whole gender nonsense stuff, which is confusing the kids. I have probably 5 pretty close friends that have had teenage daughters that come home and they're like, and you know, the dad's like, hey, Jennifer. And she's like, I don't want to be Jennifer. I want to be Jack.
Oh,
and so they've called me and they've been like, you know, this is going on. And I'm like, dude, you send your kid to Caesar's school, don't be surprised when they start acting like Romans. So I know 5 people have had this happen, and they all, 4 of them took their kids immediately out of school. 2 weeks later, the kids, like, the daughters are like, oh, I want my hair long. And but it's the whole grooming thing. They're being influenced, they're being pushed. It's just like if there was something your parents told you all the time, like there's one thing that your mom said or one thing your dad said, we can all recall something like that. Like, for example, my dad was always like, you know, live by the golden rule. You know, what you do to others is, you know, what you want done to yourself, or do to others, you know, what you want done, and things like that. And you're like, don't cheat people, and like, help people out. And but when these kids are being, at their impressionable age, those boys are being told, hey, maybe you're a girl. Hey, you can trans. Hey, you have this option.
They're totally guilting people into the global warming or climate change junk.
All that garbage.
And they're saying to them, look, if you you know, you having kids is the worst thing you can do for the globe, because it's destroying everything, blah, blah, blah. And then they go, well, I guess I can be gay then. And it's like they're just being confused with the culture and everything in school. This is an agenda to prevent the lower classes, and obviously because of, you know, rich, wealthy, they have private schooling or homeschooling.
Yeah, they want the masses to be dependent and demoralized and to lack confidence.
Yeah.
And one final thing before the break here, we have a really good case. Now that there is so much evidence that the public school system is not about education, it's about indoctrination, it's about brainwashing, you know, it's about all this nonsense, but it is very, very crystal clear now that literally your school part of your property tax is absolute taxation without representation.
No doubt about it. The number here is 603-283-6160, and the school part of the property tax, at least here in New Hampshire, is the bulk of it. It's like 60 to 70% of any given property tax bill. So if we could get the government out of education, it would be a huge tax reduction for the people here. But again, that's a hell of a tall order. We got to completely change people's minds on this. It's Free Talk Live. More coming up.
Free Talk Live.
It is Free Talk Live. The phones are open. You can join the show. Kicking off the second hour. And the number, 603-283-6160. That's 603-283-6160. Joining you tonight, it's Ian,
Jay,
and Joa.
We're going to go back to your phone calls and thoughts. You can bring up anything you want. We kind of touched on the banking situation, crisis, whatever you want to call it. It's ugly, and it may be getting a lot worse here pretty soon. But first, we're going to go to Bob. He's on the line in Tennessee, listening in Chattanooga to WGOW. Go ahead, Bob. You're on the air.
Hey, good evening. How are y'all doing out that way?
Welcome, sir.
Doing all right.
What's on your mind tonight?
Oh, all kinds of stuff. I can't believe this stuff with the Russian fighter jets. You know, they dumped all that fuel on our drone to take it down. That must have cost them a little fortune. And what suckers, man. That is a sucker play because they had to fly back to base and short their mission. So, joke's on them. But
yeah, I haven't been following that story very closely. I did see the footage where it looks almost like the drone ran into the jet, but it's really hard to tell what was going on.
Well, they're saying that it dumped fuel on that the jets flew by, and they dumped fuel on the drone, and that fuel then caused the drone to react and go goofy.
Well, all I know is the United States military shouldn't be outside of the U.S. territory. I mean, it should not be outside of the shores of the United States. So,
well,
I mean,
how else would they prop up the U.S. dollar so the bankers can sort of federal government or sort of the Federal Reserve can bail out all these bankers who just gamble and gamble and gamble?
Sure. Well, the founding fathers said to keep away from these entangling alliances, and that, of course, is exactly what NATO is. It's an entangling alliance, and that's a problem that this the United States government has been having since the early 1900s.
It's all the technology, you know. They've got the drones. They've got to use the technology. It's like the balloons. They float over our country. Hey, you know, who's going to...
We don't even know if that was China.
Back to the topic that you were on regarding the taxation and the schools and the usage of that. And the property taxes. Okay. Look, this is America, right?
I don't know.
Yeah.
It's hard to tell nowadays.
The landmass is still America, but the country
is the
United States, which is a different thing, right? Like, the United States is a corporation. The United States is completely unaccountable. It doesn't stand for freedom. It doesn't stand for liberty. It's just tyranny. And America is a very beautiful landmass.
Exactly.
Well, it's also a government. Now, the corporation is a corporation. Government's a
government.
America
is not a government. Let's just be clear. America's not a government. Never was, never has been. It's the United States of America. Yeah.
Right. There we go. And so when we separate corporations, be they Chinese corporations or Chinese governments, corporations are businesses. Corporations, we understand. Business. Government, we also understand that. Government. And in this founding of a country, we built a government that we're saying, you know what, this government's gonna be us this time.
I didn't build it.
You didn't, I know, but others
you
did.
Didn't either.
You know, we're carrying on what was started in this concept of that we're going to self-govern, that the people are going to run the government.
How'd that work out?
And we're not gonna allow kings and queens to come and forcibly take.
Well, now you have 535 kings and queens in Washington, D.C. I mean, how did the whole idea of it's the people's government work out? I mean, this isn't something that we're a part of. They rule over us. Wouldn't you say, Bob, that it's time that we broke up this experiment and we had 50 different states, 50 different nations?
Well, we kind of already do. It's just that people don't understand that the taxes that you are providing to this country, that you give them. They're not coming and taking.
Oh, we don't give anything.
No, they come and take it.
Well, if you don't give taxes, then guess what? We operate the government.
Well, then use the right word. Use the right word. It's called extortion. Right?
Can
so
be.
We're not
it's
giving
good.
Them anything.
It's
They're extorting their money from us.
And actually,
especially in you guys talking about education problems, this town got all kinds of sewer issues, big time. And they do try to, if you don't pay their bill, they're very careful not to say it's a tax, but it's a tax upon a tax, and they call it a bill here. And if you don't pay that bill, they come around with a goon squad and shut your water off and harass your family, take you into court.
They do.
Call you a liar and then get found out.
Sounds good to me. I don't want the government water.
It's terrible. It's terrible. But
they can take their government water and shove it.
Bob, do me a favor. Just back off your phone by, like, I don't know, a couple of inches. You're a little distorted. It's kind of hard to understand
like to,
you. Go ahead,
I'd like to comment on one of Bob's comments. Yep. So Bob said that, you know, the taxes that fund this country, Well, if we just look at deficit spending, that basically the taxes are funding about half of the spending, because the rest of the money is all coming from money printing.
Yeah, don't the taxes just barely pay for the interest on the
federal income tax is, you're literally in the last year of federal income tax, 2022 or whatever, was paying off interest on World War One debt.
Yeah,
it'll never be paid off. But right. Yeah. So the government funds things by taxation and by inflation.
Yeah,
and then inflation is another theft, because the more the money's inflated, the more everybody's essentially the value that they have, the money they've saved, just becomes worth less and less.
Very good. Yes, true. And they control that in many ways too. Not just through the production of currency, but also the creation of credit.
Yeah, that's right. We were talking about that earlier tonight with the banks,
mortgages,
issuing loans out of thin air. But Bob, I didn't really get a clear answer from you. Don't you think it's time that the good people of Tennessee and of Texas and of New Hampshire and California say goodbye to the United States, end this failed experiment, and actually have more freedom for ourselves to, you know, run things how we want?
Why?
Why would you want to stay?
So you can be more free?
Yeah, don't.
Well, why choose that absolute option when you've got a world of options that we can do?
Well, like, so you're saying, are you a globalist? Do you want the United States to form unions with other countries?
We have a universe of options to choose from. We don't have to limit ourselves to this or that.
I do agree with you, Bob.
Well, that's a nice thing to say.
If we want to, we can say, hey, no, wait a second. We're a state, and we should be able to turn around and be different from our neighbor state. But at the same time, if we want to be like the neighbor state, we should be able to do that too.
Yeah.
You know why? Because we're Americans. That's why our country is different from all those other damn countries.
I'm not sure about that. I mean, if this country is different from the others, it's because it is the most hegemonic, the most world policing of all of the other countries in the world. It's one of the most tyrannical, at least on the rest of the planet. For those of us that want to get out, I mean, would you be okay with us going? Let's say New Hampshire says goodbye. You know, we have ourselves a vote, and the people of New Hampshire, 70% of them vote to leave the union. You going to be okay with that?
Where are they going to go?
Well, we're just going to leave the union.
You're going to tell me that they're going to pick up the landmass.
No, we're just going to leave the union.
Basically, the feds out of the state.
Yeah, feds are going to not ever step foot in here again.
It's called secession. Surely you've heard of it.
You're talking about taking of the property, the land.
No, you're not talking about the people. We already have
the property. You're not talking about the people leaving the United
like
States.
Like expatriating.
We're talking about the New Hampshire land, the nation of New Hampshire being a nation again, separate from the United States. It doesn't mean the land goes anywhere.
Right. Okay, so you're talking about the land mass becoming its own country.
Yeah, as it once was.
Well, and what's to say it's not now?
Well, there's a bunch of criminals in Washington, D.C. who say it's not now, and they'll throw men with guns in your face if you try to say it is.
Thank you. And the key word, criminals, not representatives. Those are criminals.
They're never going to be a representative. They're always going to represent the big money. They're going to represent the big banks, the big pharmaceutical corporations.
They're going to represent coming and taking your taxes out of your pocket and taking your we're going to take. That's why this country was set up on giving taxes. We give the taxes that this country can operate on, and if this country doesn't get those taxes, then it doesn't operate those criminal organizations. It doesn't fund those things because guess what? The money's not there.
I'm a little confused on what you're saying. Right, they print it, dude. They print they print the money. They don't have to take taxes from you. They can just turn the printing press on.
The criminals print counterfeit currency or counterfeit credit or counterfeit debts. And if you look into the
you're talking about the Federal Reserve?
Hang on. If we look into the terminology of human trafficking, that also includes debt trafficking and debt bondage. This is where that is noted by good governance. That's not legal. That's not fair play. Oh, yes, it is.
No such thing.
No, the word government means the forcing minds, or, you know, govern, force.
To control.
Look up,
meant is
look
mind.
Up human trafficking. Look up human trafficking in all the divisions there. You have the drug trafficking, you have the sex trafficking, you have the labor trafficking, and then you have something called debt trafficking or debt bondage. That's illegal. And this this government, our people, we endorse that.
No, we don't endorse that.
We stand by the human trafficking.
No, sir. You don't speak for
it's
us.
It's very anti-American.
If you want to endorse that, that's your business, but we don't endorse it, and we don't want to have anything to do with it. So, like I said, if the people of New Hampshire are ready to go their own way, and then we vote to say goodbye to the federal government, are you going to be okay with that?
If you have not already done that, which you say that you did because it was originally a nation on its own, right?
Well, we're talking about the 1700s. I wasn't around for that.
It was originally a nation on its own.
Okay, but at one time, you know, someplace it's written that it was, and we read that, and we all agreed that it was okay. So it was, and yet that didn't work out. And then we came back to the United States, and everybody said, yeah, okay. All right.
No, it wasn't that it didn't work out. It's just that they joined the United States.
And they're going to say, well, we're going to be okay. And go give it a try. And if you
okay, so you're okay with it. That's all. I just wanted to see if you were okay with it.
Share that information around, and maybe we can all benefit from that, right?
Okay, good. Well, I hope that does work that way.
On the trafficking, labor trafficking can be, for you guys, you know, having to work.
What is labor trafficking? Can you just define that for me?
Labor trafficking?
Yeah.
Well, labor trafficking as defined under this, you know, language of choice of legalese or how they speak it or how they've written it.
Just tell me what it is.
Labor trafficking is where you're in a position to where you're working for somebody else's profit and not your own.
Okay. That sounds like just a job.
Yeah, it's like a job. Are you making money, though? You're not making any money. What's the deal?
Are you getting paid for that job?
Hey. I'm all for it. Listen, I work for me first, right?
No, I'm just asking you a question to clarify. You're being a little obtuse. I don't know if you're doing it on purpose, but when you're saying labor trafficking, is the person who you're describing getting paid for the work they're doing when they're working for someone else, or are they a slave?
They're getting paid for
work. Okay, that's
they
not trafficking.
Do,
that's just
so
a job.
They choose to work there?
Yeah, that's just a job. No, thanks for the call tonight, Bob.
I appreciate it.
Very confusing. The number here is 603-283-6160. If you're being trafficked, it's usually something that's being done without your consent.
Ian, stop trafficking me, okay?
Sex trafficking is where you're forced into situations without your consent, usually under some sort of threat. Perhaps against you or perhaps against your family members or whatever. Labor trafficking generally would be
like
moving somebody across a border, for instance, like a coyote coming and taking someone from, say, Mexico or wherever, bringing them into the United States, then forcing them to work for some period of time before they maybe
I noticed how you
go.
Didn't say, brought them to America. You said brought them to the United States.
Oh, I did say that, yeah.
Yeah, and I think that's a good point, though, because bringing them into the United States... Guess what? Now you're on the dole. You can get your welfare. You can get your
SNAP card. Well, the United States is just a political organization. That's all
right,
it is.
Right.
It's just a criminal enterprise.
That's what they're bringing them. When they cross the border, they're bringing them into the United States, not America.
It's a name on a piece of paper in a filing cabinet.
True. But if they were bringing them into America, though, that means they're bringing them into the values of what it means to be an American. But when they bring them to the United States organization, you're... teaching them how to be a slave and to be this new kind of slave system where you're going to be stuck in for the rest of your life and you can never get out of.
Let's go to the phones with Chuck in Washington. You're on Free Talk Live. By the way, the number here, 603-283-6160. Go ahead, Chuck. Hopefully you're a little more lucid than the last caller.
Well, no, I was just going to ask you, do you think that guy was a Fed?
The caller?
Because it kind of sounded like a little fishy to me.
I think he's just, you know, he's just confused. You
or
know,
maybe he's just starting to figure things out.
Yeah, maybe.
I don't think he understands, like, the current secession
that's
movement
what, that's
happening.
What feds, that's what feds do when they want to, like, probe you for information. They, I don't know.
The feds don't even really need to probe you for information because... Google collects all the metadata on everything that goes on. Your wireless carrier collects all of it. We're in a spy net. Everybody's being spied on. Everybody's being listened to. So they just, and Google's happy to give it to them whenever they want.
Usually a Fed is going to try to get you to say something violent. They want you to plot some kind of violence or go along with blowing something up or whatever, kidnapping a governor, things like
some
that.
I'm crazy.
So when whenever I hear someone suggest doing some kind of violence, which there's probably been about, at least 6 or 7 times in my life where I've been at some freedom thing. One of them was in Rhode Island years ago. It was at a golf course. It was actually an event that our friend Chris Carnes put on like 15 years ago. And there was a guy that stood up there. It was at this country club there. And he's like, he was literally just dressed up the way a domestic terrorist would be dressed up according to the Southern Poverty Law Center, you know, handout that they had, you know, back in like the early 2000s. And he's like, I got guns in my truck. He was like suggesting going to the local police station and just starting it right now. And I'm like, you're a Fed.
Yep.
You're a Fed. And he's like, if I'm a Fed, are you should. And he's like, you gonna hit me, boy? And I'm like, I'm not gonna hit a federal agent. Why would I, you know, do that? And he just left. He was like really upset.
So he was dressed like Osama bin Laden and yelling crazy stuff.
No, he was dressed like, you know, an American crop farmer from the Midwest. You know, he had cowboy boots on, Wranglers, a button-down shirt, and a John Deere hat on. You know, which is basically the example the Southern Poverty Law Center gave as a potential domestic terrorist.
Well, if you ever have a suspected Fed, another good thing to do is take their photograph. Try to take a picture of them, because a lot of them don't like that.
Yeah.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
No.
Or ask them to sign an affidavit saying they're not a federal agent.
All right, Chuck, anything else you want to share?
Their retirement. Yeah, I do. There's a lot I'd like to share. But one of the things that you guys mentioned earlier in your conversation this hour was the whole drone Russian thing.
Actually, it was a caller that brought that up.
Right. And this might sound crazy. It might sound on the fringe there, but what if the United States government was trying to antagonize the Russian Federation and they're doing something like this because they know all the Russians are drunk, for one. They're probably drunk on the vodka flying around up there.
Yeah, but that's why
they have this level of rationality when they're approaching professional circumstances.
I highly doubt he just hung up. I highly doubt the Russian fighter pilots are drunk in this case.
No, but they are. Probably they he did ask, are they antagonizing? Is the United States antagonizing them?
That probably, and it's, yes.
Yeah. 100% it's antagonistic. You know, I had an argument with someone yesterday about this. I'm like, get ready, guys. This, you know, crazy stuff is going to be happening. And I read the headline. It said, Russian jet collides with U.S. drone, and then like they don't tell you where it is.
It's
until
like
you
a
read the article.
Truck colliding with a moped.
Yeah, but I mean, this may be true in like the description, but I was just thinking in my head, like, that is a perverted title. It really should read U.S. drone halfway across the world collides with a Russian drone not too far from Russia.
Yeah,
like
that's true.
That's what it really should be titled. Because the U.S. drone shouldn't be there halfway across the world.
Yeah. Well, the media is just an element of the war machine. And so his comment about the Russians, you know, being drunk on vodka. So what I can deduce from, you know, American military versus Russian military is just look at the advertising campaign for the American military in the past couple years. And look at the advertising campaigns of the Russian military. So,
oh, yeah, the American military is all woke. And the Russian military is just your typical, like, tough guy kind of military.
They're like Rambo. Yeah. And literally, the American military is your local, you know, social justice warrior, college, you know, brain dead or brain polluted, brain fogged millennial. And it's like the American military, if anyone's drunk, they're drunk on the delusion of wokeism.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Is if you want to talk about, you know, being under the influence. They're under the influence of wokeism. And actually, like something like 70% of the American, you know, like if there was to be a draft, they say 70% of the American men right now that would be age, you know, from 18 to wherever, 45, couldn't even make it into the military. They wouldn't even pass because they're all either overweight or, you know.
Oh, don't worry. They'll change
drugs
they'll change requirements.
They're going to require women to draft. I mean, that's going to be the next big thing, I think. They're preparing them all with the equality stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I was going to say is that, like, with the wokeism stuff, it's like when Republicans try to actually, like, put legislation in to ban things, That's just as bad as wokeism.
Oh, yeah.
Like, that is just as bad.
Right, right. But the problem is, it's just like sugar. So, like, sugar is so heavily subsidized that sugar, it just floods the market everywhere. So all the kids are basically getting wrecked on sugar at a very young age, because especially all the poor families, all the government.
Is sugar subsidized, though? Because my understanding is there's a huge tax on sugar.
Hardcore
and
subsidized.
That's why everybody puts corn syrup, the high fructose corn syrup in things.
The sugar
is more expensive.
No, but
than
corn is subsidized
corn.
Too. So
it's all subsidized.
But isn't there a special tariff on sugar imports?
First off, let's define what sugar is. The sugar that's on the back of your can of Mountain Dew, that ingredient
is not in there. It's all high fructose corn syrup.
It's well, you get either sugar or high fructose corn syrup. So if sugar is an ingredient, like in your Moxie, it'll have sugar, right? Your Moxie is a local New Hampshire, you know.
Yeah, no
soda.
One knows what that is except
and,
for people.
Well, they
in
might
New
have
England.
Cane sugar, but like if your throwback Mountain Dew, I just looked at it, somebody had a Mountain Dew the other day and it said sugar, and if it says sugar, it comes from beets. Sugar beets, which are genetically modified to be Roundup resistant, drought resistant, bug resistant, and are sprayed with all kinds of herbicides and chemicals and pesticides. And if you are, and in order to get government crop insurance, you have to do what's called Monsanto growing practices. So your cane sugar is heavily, which comes from sugar cane, which is a totally different plant, mostly grown in like Florida in this country. Cane sugar is also subsidized so much by the U.S. government that it put like the cane sugar business out of business in St. Kitts back in the 70s. And then you have the corn, which is I think the number one subsidy for a crop. And corn is turned into high fructose corn syrup. And that is the big, big cheap one, high fructose corn syrup. But it's all heavily subsidized. And what we're getting back to, so what's being heavily subsidized now? Wokeism. All the colleges they're pushing wokeism. All the schools are pushing wokeism.
They get
all
funding and everything.
These companies doing ESG stuff. And that's an awesome thing with this Silicon Valley Bank, is they were all more concerned about their ESG score and being all their wokeism and their diversity. And, you know, a guy that bangs a guy on the board rather than real stuff.
There's more coming up here. You can join the show on Free Talk Live. It's Free Talk Live, and you can join the show here. The number is 603-283-6160. That's 603-283-6160. You can bring up absolutely anything that you want to discuss here. You can also join us online. Just head over to freetalklive.com, and you can enjoy the features that we have there for you. By the way, big thanks to High Flyer, who is a Free Talk Live Silver supporter of our AMPS program. AMPS stands for Advertise, Market, Promote, and Support. It's a way for you to directly support what we do here on Free Talk Live. We have no paying advertisers at this time, and you know what? I'd be fine if we never have another paying advertiser again. If we ever do, it'll have to be pretty special. I'm going to be really choosy about advertisers in the future, because I'd really rather go directly to the listeners. And we could probably use double the numbers. We've got about like 130 supporters of the AMPS program, and High Flyer is one of them, doing silver level support, which is $5 a month. So thank you, High Flyer. AMPS is Advertise, Market, Promote, and Support. It's a way for you to help our mission here, spreading the ideas of peace, liberty, freedom, cryptocurrency, alternatives to, you know, the status quo here on Free Talk Live. So if that is valuable to you, if what we do here is worth $5 a month and you want to get some perks like access to the AMPS only podcast, which has the full radio show without the recorded commercials and more, there's some other perks that you get too. Just go over to amps.freetalklive.com, amps.freetalklive.com. Jay, you brought up the sugar, what you called subsidies. And according to one of our chatters, he points out that there is the sugar minimum price set by the Fed, so it is in effect subsidized by that. However, if you think about what happens when you set minimum prices on things, you really screw up what the market is going to do, right? Like, so you essentially price people out of the market who would otherwise like to have a lower price.
So I went
for that product
on a honeymoon in 2018 down to, and one of the islands we stopped at was St. Kitts.
Oh,
so St. Kitts, we went on a tour, like a jungle tour, and we kind of go through, and they're like, oh, there's an old sugarcane processing facility. You can still see the chimney. And they're basically the guy, as we were going up into the, because they have a rainforest. So we went on this like jungle rainforest tour. And as we were making our way up to the rainforest, He's talking about how basically the American sugar subsidies destroyed St. Kitts' sugar industry. And he was saying that sugar was like 400 and something or 500 something dollars a ton, I believe. And I don't know if that's like a metric ton or American ton. But and anyways, he said it'd have to be about that price for there to be anybody, you know, in the sugar business to make a living. And he mentioned about, you know, that it got cheaper with, you know, the Monsanto getting involved and the, you know, Roundup and the genetic modification. And he also said sugar beets came on the market because sugar beets weren't really, you know, a mass marketable type of sugar way back when, until basically the, you know, Roundup came into it. It's just expensive to farm, but if you have it getting subsidized, it's farming makes these guys money, but they're all just subject to the government at that point. But he was saying that's what put the sugar industry out of business in St. Kitts. Basically, they've had to rely on tourism ever since because of American farm subsidies, specifically with sugar.
Right, and they can't compete because they're not allowed to, essentially. Even though they could provide the sugar for less, it's against the law.
And there's even other international things. Like every now and then, the Americans will donate like tons of corn to Ethiopia. Because there's so much corn is produced in America because it's so heavily subsidized.
It's more than we can handle.
It's more than we can handle, so we export tons of it, and it's, you know, and these farmers are just, you know, it's basically the taxpayers just making up the difference is what it comes down to if you look at this farm subsidy money. And the only way to get government subsidized crop insurance, like I said, is all these, you have to spray poisons on the ground, you know, Roundup and stuff. And
it's a slow kill system.
And yeah, it's just making everybody terribly sick. I mean, the reason the Mississippi Delta has a dead zone in it is because of all the synthetic fertilizers and chemicals and herbicides and fungicides and all this stuff and pesticides that are, you know, put on these government subsidized farm that is required in order to get the subsidy on the crops. You have to prove that you use all this stuff. So, and the same thing, and the reason I got in to talk about subsidy is because we were talking about, you know, we shouldn't be banning sugar, for example. There shouldn't be a tax on sugar, but we shouldn't be subsidizing its production, because if sugar costs 10 times more than what it does now, which sort of is...
Well, it probably wouldn't. That's the thing. The point here that the Cato Institute is pointing out in a detailed policy piece, which we're not going to read all of because it's really detailed, really lengthy, published in 2018, is pointing out here that, you know, the minimum price levels are keeping the sugar prices high. So you would likely see the sugar price go down if they would get rid of these price controls on sugar and then get rid of the tariff to prevent St. Kitts and other places around the world from importing sugar into the United States, which would mean that you would see things like soda, for instance, which people shouldn't drink, but they're gonna, would actually have sugar in it again instead of high fructose corn syrup. It's the government's restrictions that have moved the market in favor of going away from sugar and going to these alternatives and substitutes.
You can get like the Coca-Cola, the glass bottle Coca-Colas, and it says Heche Mexico.
Yeah, you can get them, do they cost?
Not that much more.
They do cost more, though.
Yeah,
but cane sugar, they're smaller bottles. Yeah, it's more per ounce.
You're definitely buying the quality.
You're paying for an import.
You're paying for the quality.
You're literally, it's quality, but it's also an import. You're literally getting something cross the border, so you can get it, because Coca-Cola and Pepsi won't make things with sugar here.
Right.
But they point out here that for decades, the federal government has been operating a program to control the production and importation of sugar. One of the program's main purposes is to ensure minimum price levels for sugar that are typically significantly higher than those found on international markets, leading to higher costs for U.S. consumers. As a result, the federal government is, in essence, the leader of a nationwide sugar cartel. The paper examines how the situation came to be, providing an overview of the sugar program's history and its essential elements, as they will show. The program's overriding goals are the provision of a minimum income to sugar producers in the United States. So those are the ones who are being protected from external competition and a higher price for the product than would otherwise be the case through the use of various measures that restrict supply. This clear gain to producers, however, comes at a notable economic cost to U.S. consumers and businesses that use sugar as an ingredient in their products. U.S. sugar policy also justifiably furthers suspicions among the citizenry that the federal government is more concerned with advancing the narrow interests of well-connected groups such as sugar producers than promoting the country's general welfare. The The paper concludes by scrutinizing the rationalizations typically offered for the sugar program's existence, claims the program's demise would result in catastrophic consequences for the industry are similar to be found overstated at best. So it's just protectionism.
And it would be catastrophic for the parasite farmers, the parasite, everybody who's involved in the sugar industry. There's all a bunch of parasites. And
well, they'd have to compete on the international market.
And the thing is, too, is and the subsidies are heavily on the other. So it's amazing that they're pumping a ton of money into it from another end, and you know, in the form of federal crop insurance programs. And then they're, you know, regulating it on this other end. So it's like, you know, it's like they're forcing the water through the pipeline really hard at a high pressure, and then down the pipeline they're gating it way back not to let too much out of the pipe, but yet they got the pump, you know, working full bore.
Let's go to Major Payne. He's on the line in Michigan. You're on Free Talk Live. Go ahead, Major.
Hey, guys. Hey. This isn't far off the mark of what you're talking about with sugar beets and Monsanto and Roundup and whatnot. I just heard this the other day that they're going to put a whole bunch of new restrictions on anything that's labeled organic, probably the FDA, I would imagine.
Like what?
They're trying to defend the king here.
Be a little more clear. When you say they're going to put restrictions on organics, what do you mean?
Well, evidently all through the stage of the processing and the growing and everything, they're going to make it, you know, they're giving you a whole other set of hoops you got to jump through. They're going to make it as hard as they can.
You mean for labeling? You mean in order to label something as organic, they're going to make it more difficult is what they're saying?
Yeah, much more difficult.
Okay.
So this is happening in a lot of areas with agriculture. So, for example, there's a slaughterhouse that we used to use, and they're called Vermont Packing. And you guys shouldn't use them. They're a bunch of thieves. They swap your cattle and stuff. They don't do a good job. We definitely had cows that were different meat, and there's been a lot of complaints. But anyways, they don't even want to deal with little guys anymore. It's a 5-cow minimum. But they've also gone to a thing where the USDA is trying to push, and like Vermont's just really happy to comply, it seems. another reason we don't, you know, like to use that place. But they want electronic tagging in the animal from the time it's born. And basically what they want is they want to have a veterinarian on site when the animal's born. Like, so your piglets are born, and then they want to, within, you know, X amount of hours, like 72 hours of birth or something, the piglet has to be tagged with an RFID chip in the ear, and then you basically get a certificate from the veterinarian. Well, this is to, you know, bring these to USDA slaughterhouses, what they want to do. So for a guy like me to do that with my animals or any small farm, that would be a massive expense. I mean, it's like $250 minimum just to get a veterinarian to show up at your place. And if you got to have them show up, you know, every time there's an animal born to, you know, tag it so you can 2 years later, if it's a cow, or, you know, 9 months later, if it's a pig, you know, send it to the USDA slaughterhouse. That's a major burden. And
sure. But if you've got a bunch of animals and you're a bigger farm, then paying $250 for one visit is not a bad, you know, not a bad deal, because then you can spread it out across the cost of the animals.
10,000 head government subsidized, you know, feedlot operation or cattle grower or whatever, cattle producer, you have probably 5 veterinarians on payroll,
on staff,
constantly. So yeah, they're already all set to do this and comply. Sure. And they want an RFID system because they want the cow to walk through a chute, and they have a thing that scans it, and now they know which cow, you know, and then the gate opens up or whatever, because they're just automizing AIing everything. And I mean, these chips are pretty amazing. I've dealt with some dairy farmers. 10 years ago, they had a chip it told the cell count of the I don't know if it was like a white blood cell or red blood, some kind of count of the blood. They could tell if the cow was a little sick. It would tell their body temperature. It would tell their oxygen rate. You know, it gave them like, you know, 4 or 5 different data, you know, points on the cow. And they could tell a cow was sick before you'd ever see the cow was sick, you know. And so it definitely does, you know, help with production, just like your computer you're using now versus what the technology would be, you know, 50 years ago, for example. But, yeah, they definitely want the government always wants to get rid of the little guys because they want to control the food supply. They just want to control everything.
Major?
Yeah. I thought the ear tags were bad enough on the cattle and stock and whatnot. I used to raise pigs, too, and I remember one time about 25 years ago, I couldn't believe the price this vet spit me. He came out and inoculated all my piglets for some kind of swine something or another. I don't even remember what it was. $30. And I think I had a dozen little ones, and I think he probably even checked the mama.
$30 each?
No, $30.
Cheap.
For for a house call from a doctor.
Not bad, Major.
Imagine that.
Anything else you want to share?
Oh, yeah, on this this bank scandal thing.
Yeah.
Evidently, they're feeling the ripples of this in Europe, too. There's,
Credit
the big Swiss organization that just got bailed out by the main Swiss bank for $54 million. And
Major, did you hear about the 500 Israeli businesses that
Pulled out, right?
They pulled out.
It wasn't the Israelis. It was the Saudis, right? There was like some Saudis that pulled out of Credit Suisse, and that's one of the things that kind of kicked off this current crisis with them. That's what I heard, at least.
I had it up.
Major, thanks for the bringing that up. It definitely was something I wanted to come back around to here. I appreciate the call tonight. The number is 603-283-6160.
Yeah, I'll read this. Silicon Valley Bank tanked, dragging down 500 Israeli startups. So, yeah.
These were companies that had accounts at Silicon Valley Bank, is what you're saying.
Right.
Well, now they don't have anything to worry about. The bankers, so-called, are going to be on the hook. You probably already heard the Silicon Valley Bank accounts. All of them are going to get backstopped. They're going to be backed up. It was going to be that only the $250,000 FDIC insurance would be the limit. So accounts lower than $250,000. But now every account, including the Israelis or whoever it was that had accounts there, everyone's going to get bailed out. But it's not supposedly the taxpayers who are paying for it. It's going to be what's called a special assessment banks. So the bankers are going to be the ones paying for it, which of course means the bank customers ultimately are going to be the ones paying for this. Now, how that's going to come about isn't really clear.
All I know is that we need this RFID chip tag in their ears, these banksters,
so they can track what they do. Got another caller. You're on.
That
caller just dropped off the air. The number here is 603-283-6160. So, like, what are some of the ways that these bankers are going to pay whatever the assessment is? Because the federal government has now guaranteed the accounts at both Silicon Valley Bank and Signature Bank, which totals something like $300 billion and change. And there was $128 billion apparently in the deposit insurance account. So they still got to cook up like $170 billion from the big banks. Are they just going to take it out of their savings, or are they going to start lowering interest rates on their customers?
I'd like to see what the definition of this special assessment, financial instrument or vehicle is. Mm-hmm. A guy who's pretty good on this, I listened to his show a little bit this morning, is Tim Pichot and Josh Segersom.
Yeah.
But Josh Segersom's World Alternative Media, he does like a lot of 20-minute clips.
Isn't he down in Mexico now?
Josh is at Tim's place in Arizona.
Oh, okay.
I actually, when I was down in Arizona, we stopped by and visited him. But Tim was talking about sort of some kind of special purpose financial vehicle that was essentially just going to be another way of just creating all these dollars essentially out of thin air, sort of what they do right along anyways. And a lot of what is going to happen, just because the money is going to get sort of created out of thin air somehow, because it ain't coming out of anybody's back but the taxpayers and customers, but it will also create much more inflation.
Sure.
We're going to see some hyperinflation, I think, very, very soon. It's going to be, a bit of a ripple effect. And, people practice barter, practice trade with people, because there's a lot of people, the only way they do anything is just swiping a card. There's even so many people just nowadays that are even like in the freedom movement, and they like never have any cash to pay for anything.
That's too bad.
They're like, oh, do you take Venmo or PayPal? And I'm like, no, no. Somebody's coming to buy like $100 worth of hay off me, and they're a free stater. And I'm like, you don't have cash?
People in the freedom movement?
Yes. and I give them such a hard time about it. I'm like, you got to know better. I hope you don't have all your money in the bank. And,
are you still doing your fiat price raise where you give people a serious discount if they pay, or like the normal price is for people who pay with like gold or crypto, and then the cash payers got to pay like 1.5 times that or something like that?
Yeah, I sort of do that. I used to like promote it a real lot because I was doing like a lot of snow plowing and like landscaping stuff, but like most of my work now is pretty much for just a handful of different guys to do a lot of work for.
Mm-hmm.
But I haven't really given much of a discount on crypto lately because I've kind of needed dollars to pay bills.
Oh, I see.
And also like the that kind of hurt when you know, Bitcoin was at $60,000 a year ago, and you know, down now, and I had to spend a lot of it as it dropped to 40, as it dropped to 30, I'm spending it, you know. Mm-hmm. So that kind of hurt, but you know, it's, you know, when it goes up and down, but I do you know, encourage just that kind of trade in general, because I want people to use Bitcoin. So that is a lot of the reason, especially when I sold all those piglets. I bought a whole bunch of piglets a couple of years ago, 250 of them. And I advertised them for $100 if you paid in bullion, Bitcoin, or bullets, or $150 if you paid in cash. So I got a lot of people to stop at the Bitcoin ATM machine, nice. Wherever, and set up a Bitcoin wallet. And just because even one guy, he came and bought like 25 piglets off me. He's like, can you give me a discount if I buy 25? I'm like, sure, if you want to pay me in gold or Bitcoin. And he's like, calls me back a couple hours later. All right, I'm going to try to get some Bitcoin. You know, talk to my 12-year-old granddaughter. And we set him up, and he went and bought Bitcoin, and he paid me.
That's great. Yeah, that's definitely something that's going to, I think, become more important as the dollar continues to lose value. I mean, we've seen Bitcoin come up in just the last several weeks from like 16 grand to 25 grand. So it's definitely, seems like it's on the upswing again.
Yeah, well, one of my neighbors needed a ride to work, from work back home. And I was like, look, keep your cash. I need a haircut. So I got a haircut in exchange for car rides.
Nice.
I think that's what we need to do, though, is more trade things so that you don't do the exchange. I know, but when you can.
Yeah, if you can. That's the tricky thing. That's why they came up with barter exchanges.
Yeah.
And that's one way that you can kind of expand the ability to trade, but that's why money exists.
But see,
you know?
Crypto isn't, I don't think it's going to catch up as quick as like silver. So like, I think if you put your USD or your fiat, whatever, into silver, convert it, well, while inflation is occurring, so will silver go up with that value. So you're just reserving your purchasing value by doing that.
Yeah, that's what we certainly hope to.
Crypto is a little weary on it.
Over time, gold and silver have held their value against inflation. Day to day, it's not, you know, you can't really see it happening.
Right.
You've got to kind of zoom out to some extent. And those are controlled markets, though, unfortunately. So like a lot of the silver bugs and the gold bugs will point out that the prices of both gold and silver should be much higher, and that you've got all this fake silver and fake gold that's being sold on paper that doesn't actually have silver backing it, and that's how they can artificially keep the price low. So it's unfortunate that that's true about that marketplace. I mean, I still love precious metals. There's no doubt about it. I'm a huge fan of the gold back, for instance, which a lot of people have been using recently up here in New Hampshire. And boy, nothing gets attention like pulling out a gold bag to pay for something at a place. I mean, everybody's interested. In fact, I'm going to be going up to Manchester tomorrow to check out the new gold back store.
Nice. Yeah, I haven't been there yet.
Yeah, you've not been there.
And I live right nearby. So.
Oh, yeah. I'm totally going to make a trip up there, because we're going to go, you and I think, Joe, we're going to be at the Footloose trial tomorrow.
Yes.
In Concord. So I've got permission from probation to go on a whole, you know, day trip, basically.
Cool.
It's, you know, for business, right? We're going to be possibly going to interview the guy that's running the gold store. So I guess you can just go in there and you can take other gold. It's like you can buy gold backs. That's the obvious thing. But you can apparently also just take your gold. I don't know if they're doing silver, but I know you can just take any old gold apparently and just sell it there, which is pretty cool. Like, people need that kind of service. You need to be able to get out of these things, because that was one of the biggest complaints. There aren't a lot of good complaints about the gold back, but probably one of the best ones is, how do you get out of it, right? Like, yeah, you can buy gold backs, but how easy is it to go from gold backs to cash? And apparently you now can do that in Manchester, New Hampshire.
Yeah.
I'll know more tomorrow.
The gold backs is really a big game changer, because for years, even like 2003, I put an ad in a paper when I was in the hay business, and I was like, we'll deliver your hay and stack it in your storage area for 25 cents per bale if paid in pre-1964 silver coin. So I sold one
guy.
Which
is 90% silver.
Right. So I sold one guy like a load of hay almost every month for years, and he paid me in eagles, silver eagles.
Mm-hmm.
And he had a little hay feed store in Cape Cod. But the thing with the gold backs is, so like this Saturday there will be a farmer's market, but it's like a, you know, libertarian farmer's
market.
Market
day?
Market day.
Yeah.
And there's like one in Manchester a month. There's one sort of out by the seacoast somewhere a month. I'm not sure where that is right now. There's another one in the North Country. And then sometimes they would do one in the Keene area, mm-hmm. In the summertime, but not in the winter. But those are pretty bustling markets, and men like you know, one of my friends that goes there that sells a lot of the meat products, she literally probably gets about 70 to 80% is either in gold, silver, or crypto, and most of that alternative currency is mostly crypto.
Every time I see her there, I buy my meat with Goldbecks.
Nice.
Every time she's there.
And I took 100, you know, 1/1000th Goldbecks with me on vacation. Basically, I, you know, earned them at $4 a piece selling meat at Porkfest. Mm-hmm. And actually, I guess they're trading at five quite a bit now.
Really?
And, well, that's what I've been hearing. People have been giving, you know, I've actually been offered $5 to some of my Goldbecks today.
Wow. I think you could get that pretty easily on like an eBay or something, but around here, I don't think it would fly. I think you're going to be going it.
Well, I've definitely done transactions at five. Wow. But when I was out in Arizona, I went to this farmer's market in Oro Valley, mm-hmm. Where my mom lives. And I couldn't do a crypto transaction. I did do a little bit of silver, but gold. There was a whole bunch of people that I even bought stuff that I wasn't really even that interested in just because I could spend some goldbacks with these people. And they were like, wow, this is so cool. It's 1/1000th of an ounce of gold. And so I thought that really made me feel good about the goldbacks doing that.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah,
they really do get a lot of, there's like a big wow factor.
Yeah,
I guess
and we need to practice doing that. We need to practice alternatives because there's so many people are going to be in a lot of trouble when a card doesn't swipe anymore. Mm-hmm. They're so dependent on that. And that's all they know.
Good advice. The number here is 603-283-6160. If you want to join the show, you can. There's more on this banking situation coming up. Signature Bank, the second bank to go down in the last week, happened to be a big crypto bank. It's kind of one of the things they were known for. Well, now they're being sold off by the federal government to some of the bigger banks. But there's one caveat. The feds are saying to the buyers, you got to dump the crypto accounts if you buy this bank. There's more coming up here. This is Free Talk Live.
Free Talk Live.
At 603-283-6160. Bring up absolutely anything you want to discuss. Anyway, with you in the studio tonight, it's Ian,
Jay,
and Joa.
So we kind of touched on the banking situation. We ended up going all over the map here. And one of the important takeaways of the last couple days, at least for those of us that are interested in alternatives like cryptocurrency and, you know, gold backs or fractional silver, these other things that people should consider getting into, might be a good time for it. I'm not a financial advisor, but if I were you, that's what I would consider doing.
A few years ago was a good time for it.
Well, there's no better time than now.
I guess so.
And so, you know, how much worse are things going to get with the government money system and how fast? Well, that still remains to be seen. But right now, Signature Bank is on the market, according to Coindesk.com, after being closed by New York state regulators over the weekend. And so they're trying to find a buyer. They want to have a Chase Bank or Bank of America or something like that swoop in, buy up the accounts basically, and essentially absorb whatever
they're buying
remains.
Debt is what you're trying to say.
I guess they're buying whatever this bank's got left. I'm not sure how a bank sale goes.
Make any sense to me.
Yeah, it's all very confusing. But
one thing I understand about these bank sales is when the government like backs them up, they basically are going to back up like the bonds that hold the system together, from what I understand. And then the bonds were originally issued at like $20, but now they're worth like $2. Mm-hmm. But the government's still going to pay out the $20 on the bonds.
Where's that come from?
And the, you know, let's say the $18 that's missing on each bond, you know, there's trillions of these bonds and they're all, you know, different values and whatnot. But they is basically all that money's just been stolen by the bankers. So like, you know, The thing is with these banks is, Max Kai, I can't remember the quote now, but he's basically like, banking, it's where, you know, they steal 6% all the time. And then it just, you know, the 6% just keeps adding up and adding up and adding up and adding up. And eventually it becomes everything. It's just, It's crazy.
Yeah, it is. You know, it's a crazy like house of financial cards. And again, how far away are we from a total collapse? Hard to say. But for right now, they are looking to sell this one bank. Of course, it comes after the failure of Silicon Valley Bank, which also came less than a week after the voluntary closure of Silvergate Bank, which was another California bank, which also was a highly crypto-friendly bank. So Silvergate went under after the FTX fiasco, because FTX had an account with Silvergate and had some sort of dealings with them, and then the other exchanges left Silvergate. They saw the writing on the wall, basically, and said, all right, well, we better close our account and go find somewhere else to bank. And then Silvergate just ended up closing. Signature Bank, whose crypto clients accounted for a quarter of its deposits, was reportedly under investigation by the Department of Justice and the U.S. Securities and Exchange Commission for potentially lax monitoring that may have enabled money laundering. A class action lawsuit was filed against Signature Bank in February, alleging the bank knew about and facilitated the now infamous FTX fraud. Specifically, the suit accuses Signature Bank of having knowledge of and permitting, quote, the commingling of the FTX exchange customer funds with its proprietary blockchain-based payments network, Signet. Many in the crypto industry, including a former comptroller of the currency, the one-time Binance U.S. CEO Brian Brooks, have speculated the closure of these three banks is indicative of a coordinated effort by government regulators to choke the cryptocurrency industry off from the banking system. Barney Frank, who you may remember used to be a U.S. representative, I think.
From Massachusetts.
Actually, that's not how I recognize him. He's a guy that used to help run Boys Town and Diddle Kids, but that's another story. I mean, that's the main story about him, but go ahead.
Could very well be. For now, he was on the Signature Bank board, and he suggested the takeover was spurred by an anti-crypto motive, telling CNBC that Signature Bank was solvent and that regulators intervened anyway in order to send a message. He said, I think part of what happened was regulators wanted to send a very strong anti-crypto message. So he says, and he's on the board of directors, hey, our bank was solvent. They just came in to take us because they wanted to, essentially. Now, who knows what the truth is there?
I don't believe there's any bank that's solvent.
Maybe
any
so.
Any at all.
But it's awfully sick. It's awfully suspicious that you have three banks going down in the last 2 or 3 weeks, and at least two of them were highly involved in cryptocurrency accounts.
Yeah.
One of them, Silicon Valley Bank, wasn't known for being crypto-friendly, but it's certainly tech sector friendly, so there may have had some.
I'm just going to say that it's best not to speculate and just take your cash out, because speculating is thinking that the government is going to solve the issue on this.
No, they're not.
So don't speculate. Just take your money out.
They might kick the can down the road a little bit, but here's the other thing. Apparently, the Department of Financial Services in New York has denied that crypto had anything to do with its decision to shutter Signature Bank, saying instead it was due to a quote-unquote crisis of confidence in the bank's leadership. Now, I don't know why they don't mention it in this story.
Confidence. But people didn't trust them anymore?
It's not clear what that even means. It
just
sounds
like a workaround of words of, people don't trust the banks anymore.
The thing that was in this story but looks like it's been removed.
Might be classic Alan Greenspan Fed speak. Like, he was the Fed speak professional. You know, Fed speak is basically, Alan Greenspan talks about it. He brags about it. He's like, I would say a comment, and then all the newspapers would say totally different things because it was just so vague what he said. It was just, and he was like a master at it. So there's a lot of this going on with reporting.
So the one line that I'd missed, I just happened to miss it as I was going through here. The really important takeaway from this story is that this company, Signature Bank, is being sold. They're supposed to have the bids in by Friday. So by tomorrow, the big bankers, they've got till then to bid on this. But they have to agree, according to the New York State regulators, to basically get rid of the crypto accounts. So crypto is 25% of this bank's accounts.
Wow.
And they have to say goodbye. So whoever takes this bank over has to tell the crypto accounts, you're done.
They can't pull their crypto?
Well, they don't have crypto. I'm talking about that these are accounts that are like crypto companies. So
I see.
The bank was never holding crypto. The bank had cash accounts for, say, you know, Kraken or
if these are exchanges, this is a big problem.
It is a big problem.
Coinbase, who cares? But like, I'm talking about the, like, you know, exchanges that are not that bad.
Well, they're all bad. I mean, they'll all do whatever the government wants them to do, ultimately.
So there could be stable coins like USD Coin or Tether that are certainly involved in this bank.
USDC was involved with the Silicon Valley.
Yeah, that went to Jeff Berwick, Dollar Vigilante, in his Walk and Talk video the other day. He did a really good synopsis about the how he shorted, actually, USD Coin. And, you know, how he, you know, shorted it at like 97 cents mm-hmm. and it went down to 83. And he's like, oh, if I was paying attention, I could have, you know, made like $25,000 off that short. You know,
yeah,
he was
that presumes it would have gone back up, right? Because, you know, it did go back up.
Yep.
But you don't know if it's going
I just find it amazing. Like right now, Tether has $45 billion of, market cap.
Tether is the world's most popular, they call stable coin, which is ostensibly backed by a dollar.
And that's USDT.
Correct.
Oh, yeah. I'm sorry. That's not market cap. That's volume I looked at. I looked at the wrong thing.
48 but, billion. Oh, yeah. I think it's like 70 billion market cap.
74 billion market cap for
it's
Tether.
Big. Yep.
USD coin is like 36 billion. I think it's crazy to have that people have so much of their like so-called crypto, you know,
in the dollar
in Tether. It's no longer crypto if it's Tether, as far as I'm concerned,
right?
It's just I see that, you know, a lot of people are going to lose when those things crash. I mean, Luna already crashed and, you know, it went to nothing.
Aren't safe places to put your value, because you're depending on bank accounts. You're depending on centralization in the in these cases of the centralized stable coins.
And exchanges are not safe places for you to have your coins either.
I know
people who've lost all kinds of Bitcoin just in exchanges, and the exchanges can throttle how much you take back at certain times. So it's just like having it in a bank. You basically don't own it if it's in exchange.
Right. Not your keys, not your coins. So that's the thing is, it does seem like they're targeting the crypto businesses out there. And there was another story we read a couple weeks ago that was going through all these different things the federal government has been doing to target cryptocurrency businesses in general. They've been going after exchanges. The SEC has been going after developers like Library, LBRY.com. They went after the Binance USD stablecoin. They've gone after they're not telling exchanges that they have to be so-called qualified custodians in order to continue doing business. And, of course, Coinbase already is, but the rest of them aren't. So they're all going to have to jump through new government hoops just to stay in business. They're going to have to ask their customers more questions than ever. And they're making it harder and harder for the average person to just go and buy some crypto. At the same time, they're going after people like us who sold person to person or peer to peer Bitcoin. And they're saying, well, that's illegal too without a government permission slip. And then even the guy one of the guys that recently got the government permission slip, well, he couldn't get one from Texas, so they went ahead and put him in prison as well, even though Texas told him, we don't have one to give you. We don't regulate that.
Right.
So it's crazy. They're trying to cut off the supply from wherever they possibly can.
They're bullies is what they are.
Yep, they sure are. So that's some of the other news that I thought was worth sharing. And then there's the story about First Republic. This is sort of the bank failure of the day. Now, First Republic, we talked briefly about Credit Suisse as well, which is the thing going on over in Europe. And they're having trouble over there, too. But First Republic was the bank where people were standing out front over the weekend. There was photo and video of a literal line outside of the bank. A huge line of people on Saturday in Brentwood, California, which I guess is like an upper crust area in the Los Angeles area, people waiting outside this First Republic Bank. So, you know, somebody must have been whispering in somebody's ear, because it seemed a little early for a line like that. There's nobody in a line out here. I don't know if you guys have been looking at banks as you've been driving around.
Nope.
I haven't seen any kind of – there's no like craze yet, at least in this area, people to go and pull money out of the bank. But people over last weekend were outside of this First Republic Bank, so they knew something was going on early on. And sure enough, the stock price took a huge hit on Monday. It kind of came back up on Tuesday. And then more recently, apparently, it's now being offered up. They're going to bail them out to try to keep them in business. According to CNBC, the shares of First Republic reversed their losses and regional bank stocks pushed higher as 11 major U.S. banks struck a rescue deal for the firm. First Republic shares closed up nearly 10% after the news, but it had been down 30% earlier in the day. The collapse of Silicon Valley Bank left last Friday has left investors scrambling to identify other regional banks that have similar balance sheet issues, namely a high rate of uninsured deposits and bonds or loans with a long time to maturity. First Republic had the third highest rate of uninsured deposits among U.S. banks, behind Silicon Valley Bank and Signature Bank, which was closed, of course, as we know, over the weekend. First Republic stock was down nearly 75% this month as of Wednesday's close and has been downgraded by various ratings agencies. The plan called for $30 billion in deposits coming from the major banks, including J.P. Morgan Chase and Bank of America, as a quote-unquote show of confidence in the regional banking system. I mean, to me, this just seems like so dishonest, so scammy. Like the whole idea that these banks care.
Pyramid scam.
Yeah, they don't care about First Republic Bank. This is all just to keep people from panicking.
And the thing is, too, is you guys remember 2008 financial crisis that started with Lehman Brothers and Bear Stearns?
Mm-hmm.
These big banks collapsed.
One of the Lehman Brothers guys, by the way, was, I think, on the board of directors at SVB.
The chief financial officer of Lehman Brothers, I believe, is so there's a whole bunch of crossover from Lehman Brothers, Bear Stearns into Silicon Valley Bank.
Yep.
And this is an exact
reason
why all these guys, if they were put in prison for a long time, all these banksters that were made this thing happen, orchestrated 2008. I mean, the movie The Big Short is really good. It explains, the situation very well. And the same things, happening again and again and again. And they keep on bailing out all these bankers instead of putting them in prison where they belong.
Hmm.
And now these guys have come at it again. But this is how, the ruling class is looting the system is one of the ways by doing this. Because 2008, all these bankers got bailed out, but nobody's mortgage got forgiven.
Nope.
Yeah, go figure that, right?
A lot of houses got repossessed.
And a lot of houses that got repossessed in 2008 have just been bank-owned ever since and have never, and they're still vacant till this day.
Really?
Many of them.
I feel like this drives up the cost, too, because now you have people leaving homes and homes that are not occupied, so their maintenance needs to be done on these homes.
They don't do any maintenance on them. There's abandoned houses all over the country.
Right, but when they go to resell them, the maintenance needs to occur, and they've been sitting for a few years. I feel like this is like furthering the, sort of drive of prices to go up.
Well, yeah, so it fuels a housing shortage. So back in 2018 or 2019, I was on this show, and I did some show prep about how there was 1.8 million bank-owned vacant houses on basically the Federal Reserve M3, M6, whatever balance sheet report.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of these houses were from like 2008, repossessions or after 2008 repossession. This takes them a few years to get you out of a house if you're going to, put them through it. And, they're supposed to have like a wet ink signature on, the mortgage paperwork, and there's none of that stuff even exists. And, because all of these banks that collapsed just got gobbled up by another bank, then those banks went down and that more of them got gobbled up. And
that's
there's
what
a
we're
lot
seeing
of people
happening now.
Who have been paying mortgages for 20 years and they've had to write checks out basically to, 10 different
10
financial,
companies.
Over the 20 years because they just keep on getting, acquired and acquired. Mm-hmm. And consolidated is really what it is. And the thing is that the banks are keeping these abandoned houses on their as an asset on their balance sheet, and they don't want to put them on the market. They don't want, because then it brings
those
the market
assets.
Down. It's an asset on their balance sheet that they essentially own.
Hmm.
And so they
But houses are depreciating assets.
They are, with the banking, it's actually when the banks own the houses, I'm pretty convinced they don't even pay property tax on them. I don't, because that's the reason property tax is extracted anyways, is to pay off bankruptcy debt, to pay the bankers back. It all started with, Geneva Convention. And that's another thing about property tax. You didn't have property tax in the United States of America basically until 1939 and 1940 on private family homes. That's when property tax started. Now on like your mills and your manufacturing and your restaurants and your inns and and shops and stuff, they had tax on them because all of those had what was called a business situs, basically a right to do business that was granted to them through some kind of municipal, state, or whatever business license.
Mm-hmm.
So then they would become a taxable entity, and then somehow the town of whatever town of Henniker, hopefully. Well, we'll see what they do, but I'm going to ask them to, you know, show the process and procedure that was required to get my property on a tax rolls in the first place through a right to know request, and we'll see what they come up with.
Because, that will be interesting.
Because I don't believe any of them, they even have it. And
have you, filed that already?
I haven't filed that already. No, I got a couple other irons in the forge that I got to, you know, get finished up before I work on that. Otherwise, I spread myself too thin.
You'll have to let us know how that transpires. So, yeah, I mean, that's basically what's happening here is you've got the big gobbling up the regional banks, and that, and then also, as we pointed out earlier tonight, apparently the numbers of you know, billions of dollars that are voluntarily moving. So you've got people closing accounts at regional banks for fear that they are going to fail next, and they're saying to themselves, well, I'll be safe if I move my account over to Chase Bank or Bank of America. I mean, that's seems like it's not a good, strategy.
That seems to be the PSYOP, the fear porn, probably being pushed by the media here. Hey, look at everybody's moving their money from, you know, the regional banks because they're all unstable to, you know, to these big banks. You know, how much money would, you know, a J.P. Morgan have to spend on that PR campaign?
Mm-hmm.
You know, because, you know, the media is just all bought and paid for anyways, all the corporate media. They don't report. They only report what they're told to report, either by the CIA or the banks, as far as I'm concerned.
Here's an idea. Get a mortgage. Take that mortgage money. Buy crypto. Don't pay a mortgage. It's going to, it's FDIC is going to cover it.
Hey, you know, like auto
is that
car
illegal?
Loans.
I don't know.
I don't know. Joe, you're not a financial advisor, though. I assume we should
point
that out.
I'm definitely not.
But, okay. but even like the auto, the subprime auto market is falling apart. I was listening to some numbers the other day, how many, you know, tens of millions of auto loans are past 90 days. It's like the highest it's ever been.
Meaning people aren't paying their loans.
Right. They're not paying their loans.
So those cars are getting repoed.
And when I'm in my backhoe, I listen to like a lot of terrestrial radio. So I've been doing a lot of snow removal the past couple of days. And I hear these commercials from these auto dealerships. They're like, you can buy a brand new Chevy crew cab, blah, 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 loaded pickup truck, and we have an incentive now for $8,000 off. And, you know, and they're like, you can buy this brand new car. I've been hearing these car ads. I'm like, wow, that sounds really cheap when they're talking about buying like a brand new truck for like $24,000.
That is cheap for a new truck, right?
When, you know, when the MSRP on a truck 6 months 50. Ago was like 40. You know, this is the cheap truck, not, you know, not like the big diesel truck. But, and I've, there's a lot of articles out there. Freedomsphoenix.com is a really good aggregate. I look at that almost every day. But almost every day, there's some kind of article in there about how dealerships are stocked full. Oh, that's one thing I heard today on the radio. Local radio, they're like, it was Auto Fair or one of these local car companies. They're like, and right now, between our three dealerships, we have 582 of these something SUV, whatever. I can't even remember, like General Motors type car. And we need to move these units to make room for our 2023 models that are on their way from the factory.
Yeah, typical about this time of year.
Right. And another thing is, too, the local camper place, kid that works down there, the big camper place, they have, like, no room to park campers, and they're expecting, like, another 100 and something models to come in.
Whoa.
And there's a whole bunch of campers there on consignment that are, like, people bought them a couple years ago, and they're like, just, I need to get rid of it. Please sell it. And then there's, and they get big
signs.
Right,
who wants to drive around in gas prices?
Well, it's, you know, well, the thing is like a year and a half ago, you couldn't find a camper. Anywhere, all these places like just sold out. I've never seen so little campers. I drive by this place every day in Ware, New Hampshire.
Why is that?
Why did a lot of people
want to live on the road and not have a mortgage home?
Well, and they just, you know, bought, you know, a couple acres of land in the woods in New York, and people park in woods in New Hampshire, and people park campers. There's people living in campers all over the place in New Hampshire. If you go to the park and rides off of like Interstate 93 and Interstate 89 in New Hampshire, you see that there's like even Concord Walmart. Take a cruise by there next time you're in Concord. You'll see that there's campers that have been there for a year. People are living them in the Walmart parking lot. There's three or four campers.
I thought Walmart only let you do that for like one night at a time.
They're there. They've been there for months.
As long as you make a purchase, you can stay there. Then people like tape their receipts in their window.
Yeah. There's all kinds of campers at the Walmart, and there's like three or four campers that have been there for like a long time. But the thing is, one guy was, so I broke down on my way home from a thing, and I stopped in this rest area right off of 93 into like
you
want to
finish this story coming up
here?
All right, more coming up about people living in campers, and you can share your thoughts as well. The number 603 1-888-283-6160. Whatever's on your mind, take control of the airwaves here. This is Free Talk Live. Whether you want to weigh in on the banking crisis or whatever you want to talk about, 603-283-6160. It is Free Talk Live. Dial in at 603-283-6160. That's 603-283-6160. Whether you want to talk about the economy, banking crisis, or whatever happens to be on your mind, you can do that. 603-283-6160. Join us online anytime at freetalklive.com. We do have our own social media platform at social.freetalklive.com. That's where you can interact with some of the hosts of the show and listeners as well as just people from the internet that just want to have more freedom to express themselves, unlike on the major big tech platforms like Twitter or Facebook. You get a lot more freedom of expression if you join our server at social.freetalklive.com. And yes, it is a Mastodon server, so that means it is part of the Fediverse, federated with other Mastodon servers that haven't banned us. Some of them have. Go to social.freetalklive.com. As we go to Sarah, we'll continue Jay's story here in a moment about the camper. But we got Sarah on the line in New Mexico. You're on Free Talk Live. Go ahead.
Oh, I finally met up with a Mary Kay lady who was an executive director, and she even had a pink car. So I
Are they
going to really
convince you
one.
To join the Mary Kay Network Marketing Organization since you're now a professional network marketer?
She got a job?
Well, you know something? She invited me. Well, it's job a $20 isn't the right membership, word. And the thing is that, and then, you
she
know,
what?
That's,
your membership? I'm sorry, I missed what you said there.
No, she offered me, and they were going to have me that little thing, that little computer tablet that you could scan a card, you could make payments. She wanted to know if I wanted to sign up with them because they're
trying to poach you.
Really well with me.
Did you tell her that you already have a network marketing company, and you tell her about who you're working for?
Oh yeah. And then you know something, and then she found out. She asked me, goes, don't you get one of those boxes that they just send you? And I told her that you only get that backup order when you forget to order by the end of the month. And she was chuckling. She thought it was just so silly.
Oh, so she thinks her company's better than your company.
Yeah, but her mother has diabetes. We got stuff to help.
That's
diabetes.
A good reason to buy in, yeah.
Oh, yeah. You know what? Their specialty is just makeup. They do the makeup very well.
Okay,
and
so they don't have
like
the potions
product.
And the pills. They just have makeup. Oh, sorry, Jay. One more try. Go ahead.
Oh, what is Sarah's company?
There's no laundry products. They have no air freshener. They have no laundry products. Mm-hmm. They don't have any home cleaning products. They don't have any super high quality vitamins. And then we have shakes that help.
So you're
diabetes.
Saying your company is better than her company?
What's Sarah's company?
It's one of those network marketing companies.
Is it Zoterra? I went to her because we do have a makeup line, but it doesn't
I think that's
fit
just essential
my
oils,
color.
Right?
That's a yeah. problem. I went to her. I went to her because I don't have the color that matches me. So
Sarah,
that's what I
do you
found
know?
Her.
Do you know what your makeup's made out of? Is it like healthy ingredients, like guano?
Well, you know what? Look at it. Our makeup is really good. It feels good on the skin, but they have 15 colors for white women. It's this whole company caters. Most of their clients are white women. They don't have much.
That sounds kind of racist, don't you think?
Darker skin. What?
Sounds kind of racist, don't you think?
Well, I have no idea. Well, the founder is a white guy. So
I don't know
if that has to do with it.
Is he gay?
You're no, the, come
I,
on.
I
know gay straight men that wear
that's
makeup.
He is up by, like, Idaho Falls. There's a lot of Mormon influence. He's Mormon. So the thing is,
but that
I don't
doesn't
know
mean he's not gay, right?
I have no idea. Most of the company, people that
I mean,
went
he could be in the closet.
The company,
if he's a Mormon, he could be a gay in the closet. I mean, what kind of straight guy forms a makeup company?
Actually, Sarah, if you find out he's gay, does that change your mind about being invested in this company?
I'll tell you what kind of guy forms a makeup company.
Well, you know what? Look at that. He's in makeup because there's money in makeup. Women go nuts. They spend billions of dollars every year
that's
on makeup.
True.
And look
that
at
is
me.
True.
So
we can't look at you.
Yeah.
We don't know what you look like.
The kind of guy that starts cosmetic cosmetic companies are the ones that usually have to deal with the waste from the slaughterhouses.
Really?
Yeah, yeah. So like Johnson & Johnson Corporation, they were basically were started because in Chicago, you know, years ago, they had this whole slaughterhouse district. And what they and the story goes, the guy was like, oh, look at all this animal fat and lard just getting dumped into the river out of all the slaughterhouses because mm-hmm. they don't know what to do with it.
So they can turn that into makeup?
We need to turn that into something. So now what they have is they have a rendering process where all mm-hmm. the guts and everything that's, you know, just all the stuff that gets thrown out that you're not going to eat or whatever from the slaughterhouse goes into like these rendering tanks. And then these companies like Baker Industries is one. They're out of Southwick, Massachusetts. And they go haul this stuff and they bring it back to their facility and they refine it, they process it into, and then they extract all, you know, separate it all and extract it. And a lot of it is used for making makeup.
So you
seriously?
There's a zoo in Southwick. So like if an animal dies at the zoo, could we get some exotic like colors out of that?
I have no idea.
But that's seriously what women are putting on their faces? Yeah, dead animal?
Most conventional makeup. So they do have vegan makeup because one of my wife's best friends is a vegan. And she, and like the reason that she stopped using makeup was because it was animal byproduct, and but they have actual. You go look, you'll see. There's vegan.
So made of plants.
Yeah, or the other chemicals that aren't, you know, animal based.
Well, if you look closely enough under a microscope, you'll see like microorganisms, and then you probably won't use it.
So, Sarah, are you going to make the flip? Are you going to abandon your current deal and make a, you know, start doing the makeup company or what?
The thing is that my sponsor, whoever enrolled me, if he finds out I'm getting other products from other, he'll get really angry with me, and I get my other vitamins from another company. So I really don't want them to find out. But the thing is,
sorry, you shouldn't have called a national radio show.
I'm not mentioning any of the names of the companies or anything like that.
Yeah, but you probably sound pretty much like, you know, you sound like in real life, right? So I mean,
you got a unique voice.
What if they're listening right now?
I mean, Sarah from Arizona.
Hold on. My whole point is, look at this. Yeah. You know, all these companies, they all have something to offer. I mean, I drink Herbalife shake because they got shops. I could just walk in and pay for a shake, and it's great, and that's what they do. They got alkaline water, but they don't do what we do, ship things, do what we do. Mary Kay's got the color I'm looking for, and they're experts at making makeup. But they don't have vitamins, and her mother's got diabetes.
Okay.
I mean, so can you
join both companies? Can you, instead of leaving the one company, join the other company and then not leave?
Well, you know, I was told that the Herbalife people, if you're signed up with them, they're strict. I was told that they'll throw them off the – they won't – I mean, they'll get after you or threaten to sue them or something.
Whoa,
and they get them
these are
so
very
scared.
Cult-like organizations in a lot of ways, Sarah. You got to watch out. They might hurt you.
Sarah, I got governitis. Can you maybe, you know, support my business?
Governitis.
But I don't know about that. We try to talk to the Herbalife. I mean, they're running scared. Like, I can't be signed up with any other thing, not even as a customer. I mean, I don't know what's going with that group. But Mary Kay, she told me that, hey, we just let everybody do what? Join Costco, Sam's Club membership, you do whatever you want. They don't restrict you.
You know, that sounds sure really attractive, like I got to say, Sarah.
Yeah, I guess if they're like really mooching up to you and coming into your home and, you know, giving you some wine and, you know, maybe another glass of wine, then you're on, they got you, you know? So.
Thanks, Sarah, for the call tonight. Good luck out there figuring out what to do. The number is 603-283-6160. That's 603-283-6160. Sounds like that lady was trying to poach Sarah. You know, if you're in the network marketing business, I imagine that happens fairly often. Well, not that Sarah's probably worth poaching because I don't think she sells very much. But.
Oh, she's perfect because apparently that lady had diabetes and it worked out real well.
All right, Jay, you were telling us a story about campers. We were discussing how apparently the market, there's a ton of campers inventory available right now, but a couple of years ago, it was just barely any were available.
So basically,
people were camping out at like Walmarts, and apparently they still are.
Oh, yeah.
Right now, you're saying in some Walmarts. I don't see it here I guess the Walmart in Keene doesn't own its plaza, so maybe that's why I don't see it here in Keene, but. You guys are seeing it out in Manchester.
I've seen it here in Keene.
Concord.
Sorry, in Concord.
Yeah, I didn't notice any in Manchester, but definitely Concord. The same handful of rigs been there for a while.
Now, so what were you going to tell us a story about a camper?
I was on my way home from a little vacation I took with the family, and it was late at night and the truck started having issues, so I was able to limp it into a park and ride. And it's the park and ride that's between, it's at Bow, New Hampshire.
And for listeners, a park and ride is where people can park like all day and then carpool somewhere. It's like a government piece of property.
Yeah, it's basically just like you could, you could throw a baseball from the toll booth on the, from the 93 there where it's a toll road. So basically, if you're going south out of Concord, you go through the tolls. It's the first exit after the tolls.
Mm-hmm.
And it's, I think it's Bow 3A. And right in front of, right in the toll, when you're at the toll booth, you can see this parking ride. It's up on a hill. So I get my truck into there. I had some fuel issues. And as I'm messing around with the truck, I had to change the fuel filter.
This is nighttime?
This was nighttime. Okay. It was like, 10 or 11 o'clock at night. It was hot out. So this guy rolls in there, kind of a mechanic guy coming home from his job, and he's, just talking to me. He's helped me out a little bit. And I'm like, what's up with all these campers? And it's like hot out. There's like there's air conditioners and generators running.
Mm-hmm.
And he goes, oh yeah, they've been here for months. Because some of these guys been, spent all winter here.
Really?
And there's like six or seven campers, and there's a whole bunch of cars just parked in this parking lot. And usually it's pretty full during the day, and they're like not many at night. And there's vans. And he's like, oh, see that U-Haul van over there? That's not a U-Haul van, but their guys are living in it, and because it just looks like a U-Haul van, he's got no windows or nothing, and it's everybody leaves, but he called it a stealth camping van. And he's like, I'm like, so nobody's kicked him out of here? He goes, nope. He goes, the cops are wicked cool. He says, basically, as long as there's like nobody doing crazy stuff, there doesn't turn into like a drug den. And then as soon as somebody shows up in his parking ride who's trouble, they just kick them right out. Like the people that are already there, they're like, nope, we don't want you here. Like some, he was saying that there was like some heroin addict was like passed out in his car, and they're like, they're like, you can't come in here. We got your plate number. We're going to report you to the police. And the cops are like, yeah, if there's like a troublemaker here, we'll come take care of him. And the guy doesn't live there, but he lives down the road, but he drives by all the time, and he knows a bunch of the people there. And he goes, yeah. He goes, like, they're just good people who got jobs and they got families. But
they just don't want to pay the rent.
When your rent goes from, $1,500 a month to $3,000 a month, they just get evicted from their apartments, and they just buy a camper and live in a camper in a park and ride.
That's sort amazing. Of a parking lot camper governing rule is like this nature to it. And it happens not just there. It happens everywhere across the country where there's like free RV parking. There is sort of like this culture around how they govern it, and it wasn't unheard of when you said that they sort of regulate like the bad troublemakers and stuff. Kick them out.
And when I went down Arizona in February and early February, I was in Arizona for a couple of weeks, and I stopped to see Ernie Hancock and Bob Anderson. And just behind that's Tonopah, Arizona, and out by where Ernie is going to buy some property, he drove by a place that's all BLM land. And so you can go on BLM land with your camper for
Bureau of Land Management.
Yep.
Yeah.
And you can go for like 14 consecutive days, and then you got to like move your camper.
Mm-hmm.
So like a lot of, so he said basically 2020, as soon as it started like getting all the lockdowns and thing, everybody came from like California and all the cities.
Yep.
And he said it was like hundreds of campers just, you drive down this road from Bob's house, like 6 or 7 miles, come around the corner, it's the BLM land, and it's just campers everywhere. And when I was drove by there, we saw like probably about 7 or 8 campers just randomly out in the desert in this one little area. And they said it was just covered with campers. And then there wasn't really any problems. Like the cops weren't there. Nobody was really bugging them. And
so they had to stay. They could stay for 14 days, but then they'd get moved along. Basically,
to go nobody to was really enforcing anything over it because there was hundreds
too
of campers.
In theory, you probably could move your truck a full trailer and truck length,
and then
that would be another 14 days.
I see.
You start it up, drive it forward 30 feet.
When you got
off.
A camper, you've usually got to do something with the gray water, right? Every now and then, and like flush it somewhere. I mean, where were they doing? Do you have any idea?
Probably just right on the ground in the desert. But basically, so the gray water is not really a big deal. It's not that offensive. It's like your shower water. But like your black water is like,
the poop
literally
water.
You could dig a hole, run your black water in it, and just fill the hole back in, and nobody would ever know. In a desert, it just absorbs right up. Now you dump black water at places like in New England, and it's going to smell like urine and poo very, very bad because of the moisture and the humidity and all of that.
That's why, like, when you go to Walmart, you see the campers, they're parked like right above the sewer drains.
Oh, really?
So they can dump their...
I didn't verify that, but...
But, I mean, I'm just saying I see that. Yeah, yeah, I definitely see that.
Yeah, that makes a sense.
I want to go to the phones here. We got a caller on the line. You're on Free Talk Live. What's your name?
Carlos.
Carlos, you're on the air.
I just want to say what's up to Breaking the Flaw.
Hey.
Appreciate all his work.
Thank you, man.
Yeah, Breaking the Flaw does great work. He's for our listeners that don't know, he's a First Amendment auditor and cop blocker. He goes around and holds government bureaucrats accountable with his video camera. You can follow him on Odyssey on his channel, which is called Breaking the Flaw. Did they restore you on YouTube?
Yeah, they took me down for a couple of days. Trolls attacked me.
Mm-hmm.
But it was Carlos, right?
Carlos is here.
Yeah, yeah. Hey, Carlos.
For the record.
What, did you have something to talk about, or can you maybe bring up one of my, not my video, maybe someone else's video, so we can share something exciting that happened today or last few days?
Well, no, well, I just wanted to say what's up to you and say give you a salute, man, and tell you some of the videos that I do is because of you.
Oh, you got
Carlos on
channel too.
Channel. Okay, what is it?
For the record.
Yes, man. Yeah, I follow you.
What's something you've done recently?
Let's see. Brown bag special. I just did that.
What does that mean?
Day.
What's a brown bag
it's
special?
It's a Fourth Amendment. I'm carrying a bottle with a brown baggie.
Nice.
Walking around.
Were you with somebody when you did that? I thought you were...
What city did you do this in?
Albuquerque, New Mexico.
All right.
You ever meet Sarah?
No, I haven't.
So what happened? Sarah? Give us a quick rundown. Like, what are we going to see if we watch this video? Did you get hassled by the police, or what happened?
Oh, yeah. I'm walking around with a root beer and a bottle of root beer, and I got it covered with a bag, and I go to the booking center where there's some police officers, so I can ask him for some help.
Mm-hmm.
Because at the Bernalillo County office building, they're not letting me in. So I went down to the police so I can tell them that they're obstructing my movement and they're not letting me inside. So I thought I'd bring the police to enforce my right to be able to go into the public space.
Okay.
And I had my bottle with me, and I and as I'm asking him, he tells me, it's against the law to be drinking in public. And I said, oh, really? And then he says, he takes a big old smell and he says, I can smell it. And I said, oh, really? Because I was drinking root beer.
Right.
I was drinking root beer. And so I said, oh, really? And he goes, do you want to give me your name? I said, for what? He says, for drinking in public. it's against the law to be drinking in public.
And that was
what makes you think I'm drinking? Yeah, that one was called Really Nosy Officer.
So I presume that part of the brown bag special approach is you will refuse to allow yourself to be searched?
Yes.
Yeah.
That's a Fourth Amendment, right. To be secured in my personal property. And that's where I got it from Breaking the Flaw. I saw him a lot. This was a long, long time ago.
Yeah.
When he was,
you've done this one?
Yeah, yeah.
This is a while back when I seen him inside the police station and he was with
Auditing America. Auditing
America. Yeah. Yeah, and both of you guys were in there, and you were over there, and that cop grabbed your beer and took it from you and smelled it, and I was like, what?
Yeah, that was absolutely a violation.
This sounds what we did here in Keene years ago with drinking at the city council meeting. Where we actually had beer bottles that we emptied out and filled with water, put them in a cooler, passed them around in the city council meeting, and started drinking them just openly. And they actually stopped the meeting like 10 minutes into it to address what we were doing, ultimately threatening us and the police chief. We had announced we were going to do it as civil disobedience. The police chief comes up and he says, hand it over. And I said, well, I'm not going to consent to a search. He says, well, then you have to leave. And I said, well, this is a public meeting. I'm not leaving. So they arrested me and a couple of my friends as well, and then later dropped the charges.
Of course they did.
Yeah.
I think we should do that again. That sounds like a lot of fun. Yeah.
It was fun. They finally
Did they take it away from you and smell it?
They took it and just arrested. I don't think that they smelled it or anything like that. They just arrested. So.
Jeez.
And then we actually had more people come out later. We had some friends from Manchester come out, and they did it again. We did it again, and then they ignored us. And then we did it a few years later. We did it again, and they ignored us. So they learned their lesson.
That's how you put them in their place, though, really.
Yeah. So I love that one. That's a great one. Another one that I saw some of the pranksters on YouTube do some years ago was they actually took a clean bong. And they loaded it with, like, tobacco in a place where it's illegal to have. I mean, you can't do it in that many places these days, but they loaded it with tobacco, and then they just walked around the streets smoking tobacco out of this bong until finally some cops saw them and started to mess with them. So that one was a pretty good one, too.
How about, like, the Juke Squad? They had those mugs that look like there's beer in them, but they don't really. That was their video that set them on the map, and, like, they got millions of views on it. But
what did they do?
They let them go eventually.
Where were they, though? They go
it was like San Diego.
Mm-hmm. Just on the streets?
Like that. Yeah, yeah.
Okay. Good stuff, Carlos.
And the reason, and it shows the discrimination to homeless people.
Sure.
Because, they don't have a home to drink. They ain't got nowhere to be drink. They can't go in the bar and pay for it. So.
Yeah, and a lot of them are homeless because they'd rather drink than pay for a home, too, you know?
Sure. And they don't know their rights, and so they get picked on. I mean, the fact is, you got a bottle in a bag, that is not illegal. You
most
know?
Poor people across the board don't know their rights. That's all. That's why the IRS likes to target them, and that's also exactly why Child Protective Services likes to target poor people. I mean, the ruling class has been, harvesting the children of the poor class, for generations and for since man's existed, essentially.
So, Carlos, you said the channel was For the Record. Is this on YouTube?
Yes. Yeah.
Yes. For the Record 11777.
And hey, awesome. For the Record, tell more auditors to call in. Call into Free Talk Live. We love you guys. We want you guys to tell us about experiences and whatever else is going on
in
the world.
Yeah, always love to hear the stories.
Actually, I should have brought up that Chili DeCastro from Delete Laws got arrested.
Oh, no. What?
And he was pushing back on the cop and everything. It looked great.
Where was this?
He was a wrongful arrest. I think it was Vegas.
Okay.
Yeah.
Hey, thanks for the call, Carlos. I appreciate the heads up on that tonight. Good to hear from you.
No problem.
Thanks, bro.
Right, the number here is 603-283-6160. That's 603-283-6160. I love that idea. Yeah, he's got the brown bag special. That's the most recent video, it looks like, there. On his channel. That's definitely one worth checking out. I love, subverting expectations with things like this, where you're messing with somebody's head. You're not doing anything illegal, but they think that you are because you're, kind of doing traditionally what somebody might do. They might put a real beer in that bag, and then just watching the reactions, and whether or not you get arrested, of course, is another question. Hopefully you wouldn't, but you never know. I mean, these people are crazy.
Could red cup it. And go to the Keene Square.
That we did that actually once upon a time here.
Well,
too.
I mean, we've been doing nightcaps. Yeah. I haven't seen a nightcap in a while.
Nightcaps ended last year, so yeah, they haven't been happening this year. Usually, the nightcap, which for listeners who don't know, that's where people just have a party in the downtown central square here in Keene, tend to not happen during the wintertime, just because people don't want to hang out there for
same thing.
Long.
Why there's not too many riots in the cold cities during the winter?
Yeah,
it's just not fun.
People
to
just
be
don't
want to
go out
for most people.
Yeah, that's a fact. So let's see. What else do we need to know here tonight? There was one more little detail about the banking thing. Credit Suisse, which is a major bank over in Europe, apparently also got themselves a bailout. So we're talking about how First Republic got a sort of a bailout from within the system with J.P. Morgan and Bank of America throwing them $30 billion just to keep them afloat. And then also Credit Suisse, their shares have been falling amid concerns that the bank's material weakness in its financial reporting could lead to it needing to raise more capital. However, the Swiss National Bank, their central bank, struck a deal to allow Credit Suisse to borrow up to roughly $54 billion in order to keep them afloat for some temporary amount of time. But it's a loan, right? So they're going to have to pay that back.
Just kicking the can down the road a little more and a little more and a little more. Hey, if you
what
guys like the shirt I'm wearing, it says kids don't belong in the indoctrination system. This is a really fun shirt. I wore it in the airport, and when we were down in Arizona, we went to a bunch of playgrounds, And guess what? There's a bunch of homeschool moms to playgrounds during the week, but not on the weekends.
It's got the word school crossed out. And you, indoctrination.
And you can get this shirt from my good friend Luke Radowski at thebestpoliticalt-shirts.com. And check Luke out.
Yeah, Luke does some good work out there. Where's he at right now? Florida?
He's in Florida. Yeah.
All right. Hopefully he'll come back to your...
We Are Change. We Are Change YouTube channel.
Yeah, that's right. Out of time for tonight. Don't forget to check Joa over at Breaking the Flaw on Odyssey.
Thanks,
and we'll see you tomorrow. FreeTalkLive.com. On Free Talk Live, we're bringing people to the ideas of liberty every day. From wrestling superstars like Glenn Jacobs.
You guys really are having an impact, I believe. Like I said, a lot of where I am now is due to listening to Free Talk Live. You changed my mind on some very important issues years ago.
To random people tuning in on the radio.
I was kind of stuck in the left-right paradigm. I heard your show by chance on a Saturday night. From there, I went on, joined the Free State Project and become an amplifier. So, I mean, that's really the reason why I amp is because I know that if it wasn't for you guys being on as many stations as you are, I never would have found the ideas of liberty.
You can help more people hear the message of liberty by joining Free Talk Live's AMPS program on Patreon for as little as $5 a month. And you'll get access to special perks. Visit amps.freetalklive.com, amps.freetalklive.com.